Ah, yourself. What flames? Brimstone fire. All the things that the kids like up here in this movie review extravaganza. Yeah, people, we are talking about fire and kids because they love the dragon. Because they all love the dragons, man. Yeah, all the kids out there. We'll be talking about that.
What's better than a dinosaur? A dinosaur that can fly and shoot fire.
And shoot fire. Yeah, man. We're going to be talking about How to Train Your Dragon tonight. But before we do that, I'm Corey Coleman over here at Martin Thomas. How you doing? And
hello.
And as I said, tonight we got a couple reviews. You know, we have a little something for the children out there. For all you little pyromaniacs, we got fire and dragons and
training them,
man. Can you actually train them? They done tried 3 movies, man. How long is it going to take to train these damn dragons out here, man?
I feel like they got it the first time.
Yeah,
I don't know why we're still doing this.
Oh, man, we 3 movies in and dragons still wild as fuck. But we'll see how it's going to be, man. How to Train Your Dragon 3. See if them dragons are potty trained yet, man. Also got a little bit of, we've been talking about culture and foreign movies. And you know, we did our best of list.
Yeah, we did.
About 3 movies on there that we love that were from a foreign land. Mm-hmm. And that's what we have here tonight. We got a Spanish movie. Everybody knows. I'm talking about that. But
what does everybody know?
You give me that pun look like I'm thinking of something.
No.
I was like, well, go ahead.
No, I got nothing.
Well, Martin, we'll find out what everybody knows when we do the review. At least find out what we know.
Uh-huh.
And let me see what else we got up here. That's about it. So it's going to be kind of a short night tonight. It started fairly on time, so we're going to get y'all out of here. Let me see here. Got people up in the studio. Luke Nukem is back. How you doing, Luke? What's going on? Luke, and you, Luke don't have to wear it no more. Luke, you remember when you were so upset about that joke you told? Somebody out-looped you, man.
By a lot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah, bro. Somebody got burned to the ground.
I know.
Night.
Look at it. He got set on fire. Apparently, you ain't done yet. Got a side that ain't cooked yet. Because he's back. Yeah, you ain't got to worry about that. There's a new one up in here. Oh, the legend of... Legend of DJ Miles, boy.
Boy, that was one of the books right there.
Oh, welcome, everybody, to the show. We'll talk about that in a little while. Oh, but welcome. Good to have you here. And let's see what else we got here. You know, speaking of return, he don't like to be in front of the camera, but got TJ back. You can see a little bit of his socks over there.
Oh, I thought you meant the new Nicolas Cage.
Oh, no. What's your name? Kung Fu T. There's his arm right there.
You don't want to be on camera, TJ? Kung Fu TJ.
He don't ever want to be on camera until I actually make
proper title.
Until I bring him on camera, and then that's when he wants...
Watch the show.
No, you don't. I mean, one day I just did a quick aside to the audience. I was like, TJ, you know what I'm talking about? And you pulled up your pants. Like, oh, wait a minute, I got things to say.
I remember that one.
Yeah, you had a lot to say. You had about 2 hours worth of things to say in front of the camera. I'm gonna tell you something. What's weird about TJ? You think? See, this he's gonna say, man, stop talking about me, man. I ain't weird, but you know something? Like he came in today, and it's so. I mean, really, you know better than to do shit like this. You about? It was just creepy as fuck the way you came in here today. Like you just got up. Want some chocolate?
I did not.
You know, don't nobody come up to you out of nowhere and say you want some chocolate unless there's shit in that chocolate.
You want some nice chocolate? I was like, hey, let me share with my colleagues.
And it was funny too because I said, what's in it? And you're like, oh, nothing, man. Ain't nothing but pure dark chocolate in there. And then I start eating. It's like, oh, and some cognac. And I was like, yeah.
And he's a recovering alcoholic.
You know, I haven't had a drink in 6 hours, man. Come on.
Turn in your chip.
Yeah, but it did, man. Martin's like, I don't taste the cognac. It's like, I do. And I don't even know if cognac is real cognac or code for something else.
Oh.
There's cognac in there. Yeah, I don't. I, yeah, you know,
like that scissor.
Yeah, you know, when you sat down, he just came to you, want some chocolate? It's like, shit, man, let me sit down first. Like,
it does make you not trust it when somebody comes out of the blue and does that.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw the boxes was a fancy box.
I know, it was a fancy box.
Yeah.
That's the first sign that something's wrong. It's a fancy box.
I didn't give you shit.
You just did. In the form of little chocolates. Hey, but thank you, man. Thank you. I'm just saying, it was good, man. It was good.
Mr. Coleman, I don't feel so good.
Yeah. Even the way his demeanor when he said it. You want some chocolate? I'm like, close your eyes a little bit first. When you say that like that, it look like you high on your own shit.
You want some of this?
That's
good, man.
Not the way you looking.
I literally said it like, this is the best chocolate I've ever had.
Yeah, man, when you high as fuck, it's the best chocolate you've ever had, yeah.
Fuck you.
Now we can start.
There we go. Man, fuck you, man. Shit, last time I saw somebody that eager to give away chocolate, it was his kid in high school, the last day of school before summer started. And he had baked weed brownies and went around the whole school looking at his teachers, like eager. Hey, Miss Johnson, you want some chocolate? And the thing is, it's kind of their fault because nobody even liked that kid.
Oh.
Like, what makes you think that he turned like he turned a leaf on the last day of school? That's the time you should be the most suspicious.
Right, right.
Oh, little Timmy done turned around. Oh, fuck.
Is there X-lax in these?
I have an urge to look at the walls all of a sudden. It's like, man, you
there's no weed in this chocolate.
I know. I'm afraid of something else. Oh, but thank you, TJ. Thank you. Oh, in the middle of the show, I'm just telling you this. I'm in the middle of review and I just stare off in the distance all of a sudden. You know why. Kung Fu TJ done put his moves on. Oh, but that was good chocolate, though. Thank you, man.
It was delicious.
It was. It was. Very good. And kind of healthy, too. It was that dark chocolate. Not even the 100% dark chocolate. 99%. Yeah. 1% Hennessy.
That's some sugar in there.
Yeah. It's a little bit. Yeah. And about 1% heroin. Yeah. You like what's her name? Erica Badu from that trailer. It's pure dark chocolate if you don't include the peyote, the crack, and the weed. That's not 100% dark chocolate, man. No kind of drug math you doing over there. But I appreciate it. Thank you. That ain't the last time. You said that last time.
And the time before that.
Yeah, last time you did shit for me and I gave you shit for it. It was not the last time and it ain't going to be the last time now. Thank you. So, yeah. They always come back. Abused, yeah, man. Up in people's mind. Hell, we tore Robert up last night. You think he gonna stay away? No, he'll be back.
Well, he's gotta at least try to redeem himself.
Oh. Ooh. Ooh wee.
What up with that?
Man, I didn't want to say nothing until it happened. You know what? I sat here and I was cool and I said, I don't want to be that guy. I said, and we talked about it on Monday and I kept saying, if it is weird, it is odd, don't add up, but we don't know.
Right.
If
maybe,
and no, you know, I want to get to that as short as possible. Not maybe if he did it. You know, we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And now today I can actually unleash right now. I knew that motherfucker was guilty. I've been waiting on this. I feel so free. Boy, it is hard trying to be fair. I mean, I sat up here with it. Look, the first day it came out, I was mad. Now, you know, I was one of those people who said, you know, why not? We are living in a crazy world right now. I know you said you thought something was fishy.
I did. I thought it was just too much.
But my whole thing is, what I was talking about, Jussie lying ass Smollett. Whoop this motherfucker in public. Just bring him out into a town square. And just beat, cane his ass, 50 lashes for this breaking. If look, if I'm looking at it's true.
Are you still worried?
Still can't be too careful, man. I'm still worried.
They railroading that brother.
I'm so nervous right now. I'm still scared that tomorrow we're gonna find out the Chicago PD was racist. And this was all a conspiracy just to put, for some reason, the ever-important Jussie Smollett in prison because, for some reason, he was such a threat. But if what I'm reading is true, Jussie Smollett, just breaking, Empire actor Jussie Smollett has been charged with felony disorder conduct for allegedly filing false police report. And that's a report, says report.
When he reported
that he was attacked, Chicago police say. And you know what? I am still in huge disbelief. Now that's from the Associated Press. That is not some dude just tweeting this shit to his boys, you know. It's like somebody who just won a bet, you know, and just putting it, somebody just, you know, putting a comment on Facebook. This is AP, the Associated Press. Read it to you again. Empire actor Jussie Smollett has been charged with felony disorderly conduct for allegedly filing false police report when he reported that he was attacked, Chicago police say.
His lawyers vow an aggressive defense.
And his lawyers vow an aggressive defense. I'm not going to even go deep right here, man. I'm not going to go deep with it because, again, his lawyers are coming in. Like I said, this is so crazy that tomorrow we might find out they pulled an OJ case with this. You know, what was it Mark Furman?
Mark Furman, right.
Mark Furman might have done something here. You know, I'm not, because a lot of people think that I'm saying this because I'm a Jussie Smollett bitch. Like, I'm just a groupie. I'm just trying to defend. Like, I'm just, oh, he black and you black. He gay and you gay. You know it. That's the next shoe they're going to drop. That's why you sticking with him. No, I'm saying it because you, man, look, it was just Martin and you said it with the Me Too movement and everything. It's just until I just really know for sure, I don't want to be one of those internet people who just jumping on things. Right. I really don't know because I'm still baffled. I'm not saying I'm supporting him. I'm saying I really am baffled. Brother, why would you want to do this to yourself?
Well, think about this. Think about the people you've met who are pathological liars. And they'll tell lies where you go like, okay. Because you don't question it because you're like, well, they wouldn't say that if it wasn't true because it's so easy to find out. And then you discover that, no, they were lying the whole time. They just kind of knew that nobody was going to check that. But the moment somebody checked it, shit was over. So you're like, well, why'd you even do that in the first place?
Yeah.
They couldn't help it. Or that it does it for them in some way.
You know what, man? I would say that maybe being a pathological liar. Let me tell you this. I'm just gonna come straight out with it, and I'm gonna be just as rude. I'm gonna be just as vulgar with this as possible. Let me see if I can find. I'm gonna find a picture of him so I can put his ass right there. Everybody said that. They say he's the new. I'm going to put his fake crying ass. If he really is faking this, I'm putting his fake crying ass right here, right now. They're talking about this is the new crying Jordan.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking, man, especially in Chicago, nobody's happier than Michael Jordan right now.
Yeah, finally. I got another Negro crying. Now, leave me alone. I'm going to put it just as rude and vulgar and upfront as possible. If he is lying about this, it ain't that he's a pathological liar. The nigga's insane. I'm going to tell you that right now because there's no – Luke, excuse my language, man. You know, should I say the same thing about you if you did this? I look over at Luke. The nigga's insane. Look at him just like –
He's like, yeah, that's me.
The thing with Jussie Smollett, man, that's crazy because the pathological liars sometimes lie to get attention because they lacking something, man. You got a guy who music was getting stronger the more he was on that show, right. Has fans, has a career.
Right.
Why are you – it's not just telling a lie. You are orchestrating an event.
I mean, for the one season I watched that show, he was probably the character I rooted for the most.
You know, and like, you know what? I'm fuck Empire. I told everybody this is the best episode they've ever had.
Right?
Shit, this is a spinoff.
It is. It's funny because it's one of those plot lines that even the as sensationalist as that show is, if somebody had come to them with this plot line, it'd have been like, I don't know, man. That's a little too much.
We
had trouble getting people to believe this.
We all would have been
because
that way.
Where's it go?
We all, if they had wrote this in, if they wrote this and put this on Empire, I'd be like, man, y'all just jumped the shark.
Y'all jump a lot of sharks, but this is the one.
Shit, even that shark would be like, damn.
That wasn't even
y'all
close.
Y'all were high, didn't you?
I think even the Meg can't catch that.
I don't get it, because here's the thing with being a pathological liar. People, look, I don't know. I'm not no psychiatrist. I don't know, man. I'm not, you know, I don't know what psychological disorders people are going through. But I will tell you this, man. Let's see if I got this boy right here. I don't understand it, man. You are not just somebody at work lying to your friends, and your friends are like, "You won't, man. You think he lying? Actually, don't give a fuck." You know what? What am I going to do? Go home and investigate Joe? you know, Joe who sits in a cubicle all day. You know, no, ain't nobody care about Joe the liar over the guy you work with. But Jesse Smollett, somebody's on a high profile show who's gaining more celebrity every day.
Thank you. Thank you.
I just want to say I got beat down. Yesterday, they called me the F word and the N word.
The most brilliant man that I know told me that music is the truth. I'm honored tonight to be able to use his music to explain to you all some of my truths.
Some of your truths.
Truths. Hey, yeah. You gonna let us in on some of those?
Yeah, brother.
You know, now I'm wondering, I bet he ain't even gay. He just did it for the popularity.
Yeah, just put that dick in his mouth just to get attention.
Here, a Coca.
Yeah. I'm waiting for it to come out. See, you know what I'm waiting? I'm telling you right now. Boy, I can't. I'm waiting for it to come out that like these two Nigerian dudes, because we were talking about this the other day with this, how this is just insane the way this story goes, man. Because it gets deeper and deeper. Well, you know, first of all, find out that they were not only not white, but they motherland black.
Uh huh.
Nigerian.
I know.
I mean, they're the opposite of white.
Yeah. It's like you couldn't find anybody just a little bit white.
Just a smidge. These brothers right here, you know, I'll tell you what I'm waiting to find out. I'm waiting to find out that they were all fucking. I'm waiting to find out they were all gay and they were all in on it.
What, the two brothers?
The two brothers, yeah. Can it get any crazier? Shit, those dudes incest too? Why not? You know, what really gets me with this and perplexes me with this is how you orchestrate a story like this and you don't think people are not gonna find the truth. You were too big for people not to dig in that deep with it.
Maybe he doesn't see himself as that big. I mean, maybe to him, he's just still a struggling actor who's on a show now that could end at any time.
Oh, well, he's big now, ain't he?
Well, certainly.
Well, he knows he's big news now. And you guess you got what you asked for.
The thing is, the position he put himself in, even if nobody caught on now, those two brothers could have shook him down for the rest of his career.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Maybe they are. I don't know. Maybe there was something going on to where they – you know, they weren't getting what they wanted from him.
Yeah. He said, hey, I paid you guys. Yeah, well, we went through that money already. We need some more.
Yeah. But then they realize, oh, it's Jesse Smollett. It ain't like we shaking down Terrence Howard or something. You know, this dude's still earning his money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't, that's the thing I don't understand. You're that high profile. you know that you're on a show that's very popular. When this happens, and you know that it's going to be investigated. Too many people are interested in this. And furthermore, forget it's that it's about you. It's involving social issues.
Mm-hmm.
That if it ain't, if they ain't even talking about you, they're going to talk about this anyway because of the racism and politics that are involved.
Sure.
Or the racism that he claimed that was out there. You know, when you make it that big, of course people are going to look at this, man. It's not just about you anymore. You brought in a racially charged incident in a very racially charged environment right now. You don't think anybody's going to get deeper with this? Brother, what the fuck were you thinking?
Well, on the tip of what the fuck were you thinking, now when this actually does happen to somebody, there's going to be people going like, well, did you really get attacked?
Oh, you know what? I was saying the other day, look, I was just thinking this. And I'm not saying this because I want it to happen. I don't mean to be mean. But, hey, if you're a racist and a homophobe and you want to beat Jussie Smollett's ass,
yeah,
now's the time to do it. If you want, go ahead and use that
real time. It did.
Yeah.
That's nice. That's nice.
Yeah. You want to cry racist, homophobic wolf, you go right ahead.
But just check the tape. We've checked tapes on you.
Yeah. We're good. You got a window of opportunity right now. Yeah, who's going to believe you now, Jussie?
Yeah, I dare say somebody could be an eyewitness to it happening and still probably be like, I don't know.
Yeah, somebody could see his ass getting beat right there on the spot, mm-hmm. and be like, man, you paid this.
Right.
Yeah. Look at it. No, seriously, man. Man, quit playing, Jussie. No, bro. I ain't falling for that shit again, man. Oh, man. They broke my ribs. Sure, man. Whatever. Let me get some of that. Oh, no, really?
Oh, look at him play acting.
Boy, I tell you, that Jussie Smollett, good actor, though.
How many blood capsules did you break just now?
Yeah. Yeah, you could actually shoot Jussie Smollett right now and be like, boy, if you don't take them squibs off. No, I'm bleeding to death, man.
Bravo.
Yeah, just all right. All right. You want attention, everybody.
Real nice, Olivia. Get up.
And the award goes to. Oh, shit. This brother dead. I tell you, man. I said the other day, this goes. And we talked about it. I talked about it with Oz the other night. I said, you know, the reason why people are really hanging on to want to believe him because and I'm being serious right now. All jokes aside, man. I said this the other night. This is like, there's nothing that enrages me more than a woman who cries rape.
Sure.
And it didn't happen. And it's not because I'm some male who dislikes women. No, I'm saying this because
it makes it so much harder.
It makes it
for
harder.
Real victims.
Yes. Yeah. I was like, you know, these women are struggling because they're carrying the burden of belief on them when a horrible thing happens to them. And then some bitch wants to lie about it for whatever reason. And then, it really does make people take a few steps back. Same thing. The same thing can be said for victims of hate crimes, whether it be homophobic or mm-hmm. racism, mm-hmm. anything, man. You know, but especially with hate crimes, especially with crimes against homosexuals, man. And this dude came in, and not only did he lie to the public and misuse their trust, but it's very disrespectful what he did to real victims uh-huh. of those crimes. And he doesn't really I don't know what made him think that if at any point he would get caught with this, how that could not be so damaging to those people.
Honestly, this could be rather than being a pathological liar, he could have hero syndrome. And you know how somebody will start a fire and then rush in to be the hero who saves everybody?
Yeah.
So him thinking this will help out victims because it'll get everybody on the alert for racists.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you, boy. If this is true, yeah, your bitch ass got something to cry about now for real, don't you? I mean, I'm so mad. I said the other night, man. I said if this happened, I would be so pissed. It makes me actually want to go put on a MAGA hat and beat his ass. If that's how much I want truth out of this. I want.
Yeah, but you come around the corner in that MAGA hat and get your ass beat by a different crowd altogether.
And be looking like him. I got my ass beat. No, for real, I did. Be worth it if I got to him first or after.
It'd be right before you got to him. They go, yo, man, what you doing over here with that hat? Huh? Yeah. Oh, no, I just went to beat up that guy.
And you know what? If they did see him, they'd be like, oh, shit, that's Jesse Smollett. Come on, man. Be a big mob going after him. Nah, man, I don't. This is something where I think the biggest punishment for him, he should have to go out and have a crowd. That somebody should call a press announcement, and he should have to look at the public that he went in and betrayed so hard. The gay community should be there, black community, yeah. Everybody else should be there, and they should be looking him in his eye, and he should be apologizing for what he did. If, again, this is true, we don't know how the lawyers are going to make this come out.
I think he's going to stick to his story to the bloody end.
I mean, and you know what? I'm not approving of this at all, but I would. You know, at this point. I mean, what you going to do?
Exactly.
I mean, I can't blame him. Hey, that's the one thing I can't blame him for.
Because there's no upside to confessing.
Hey, and there ain't none at this point. They are ready to tear your ass apart. You better hang on to that fucking lie as long as possible, brother. Up and like Martin said, up until the bloody end. If you were getting your ass whooped by racists and homophobes for real, and they telling you confess, you better hold on that fucking lie. Shit, if I was you, I'd go down dying with that. That'd be like, damn, that brother must have been telling the truth. He's dead. Never admitted anything.
If they only knew.
Yeah. Yeah. I have. I. This is enraging, man. I mean, I'm laughing, but this really pisses me off.
Well, you know what? It got found out right away. that's sort of the upside of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the plot was just so stupid.
It was, man. This is
just thrown together.
Yeah.
With no kind of planning.
Shit. I've seen science fiction stories more real than this.
I mean, honestly, you have to look at, wow, how stupid does he think everybody is?
Yeah. We know how stupid he is.
I don't understand. My plan was foolproof.
Yeah.
Yeah, you the fool, yeah. And that's the proof.
I don't understand this dude, man. Angry, man. It really makes me angry thinking about how this could be just slightly. Even Terrence Howard feels betrayed.
I know, he's like, wait.
he was
lying
out
the whole time?
damn, man. Thought you was telling the truth, man. Supported you, man.
Now, what I wonder is, so are they going to keep him on the show?
Hell no.
Hold on. Because that's your initial reaction is, hell no, they don't keep him on the show. Anybody watching this is going to boo him and hate him. And like, man, I can't watch this goddamn liar on there. But this show is basically a soap opera. They bring him back as an asshole, a big time villain that people love to hate. They can milk that for even more ratings.
Martin, that is more ridiculous than what this motherfucker did.
I'm telling you.
That is not going to happen because...
They give it some time and they bring him back and he's evil?
Oh, no. No. That would be a boycott every day. I would love to see what kind of... I would love to see what kind of network you run.
I wouldn't put this Drek on in the first place. But they clearly don't care.
I would love to see you write one episode of Game of Thrones. The new villain, Bill Cosby. Man, I'm telling you, if I cast him as a villain, no. I'll tell you why. No, let me tell you why. For one thing, advertisers would boycott. People would boycott the show. This show would be caught up in so much controversy that they couldn't do a proper show anymore. People wouldn't even be looking at it for the real show anymore. This thing would be caught up in so much they would lose money. There's no fucking way that they are doing that. Shit, they might as well bring Bill Cosby to replace him if they're gonna do that. There's no way. You know, I tell you, man, I never, you know me, man. I never say never. But that shit will never happen. Now, I tell you what's going to happen with him if he wants to continue. And this is what I said. Because I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. They're going to kill his ass on that show. You ain't going to see it. They're going to be like Roseanne. off camera.
Airplane.
They're going to talk about how he was going to his next gig and the bus crashed.
Right.
He was the victim of somebody.
Build a whole episode around how sad it is.
How sad it is, yeah. Yeah, to make the character more sympathetic. You know what I would love? I would love if the character died because two dudes beat his ass. Now that I think they could do.
No, they couldn't do that because they would be profiting off of what he did.
Fuck yeah. So we're going to turn something good out of it. And you know, that's what everybody would cheer that shit on. Hell yeah. Yeah, they killed Jesse Smollett. Two dudes with MAGA hats on.
Wait, in the show or in real life?
Both. I love they just change it around. Slightly trying to change it. Like two roadies that he worked with. From Wakanda. Say Wakanda. Yeah, because the dudes that he worked with are on the show, were on the show. They could actually now what they could do is they could hire like one of those brothers back. As the dude who beat him, they could put him back on the show.
Uh-huh.
And then I think after he beats him, I think that he should get a recording contract. You know what would be funny? If they brought one of those Nigerian brothers back and they made him the guy that actually killed Jesse Smollett, but then we find out that that guy is gay and can also sing. And they say, well, and Terrence Howard was like, well, you know what? He's gone, but man, you remind me so much of my son.
Do the voice.
I'm sorry. Hey, look here, man. I know you killed my boy and everything, man. But damn, your voice sounds just like him, man. Got this contract for you, man. So what? You want to be in the group, but what, man? And that dude, and those Nigerians take his place on the show. Man. The Empire can't go on. They got the material to work with.
Oh, yeah. No, they got plenty.
Oh. Yeah, man. I'm down with this. Nah.
I wonder how it is for those other two actors that play the other brothers. Like, they're like, well, I guess my part's getting increased now.
Yeah. I'm telling you, I would bring them
on. Not those two brothers, the actual Terrence Howard brothers.
Oh, I'm talking about these two brothers.
I mean, his sons.
Bring them on, man. Bring them on. Make the shit crazy, man. You know what I would love to do? I would just love for it. Here would be the best thing. Get one of those Nigerian brothers, just one, and get him to come in and take Jesse Smollett's place. And he's the same character. They don't even explain it. They don't explain it. They don't say anything. Dude just comes on. He's got a different
Jamal,
accent.
I like your new sound and your new look. Thanks, mama.
You don't understand how it is to be a gay man, a gay black man in this country.
What country are you from?
What do you mean, father?
Yeah, man, I would love it. Look at this. They talking about like, how about they just ended like one of the episodes of The Simpsons? You mean they got rid of Poochie?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. No, Jesse Smollett died on the way back to his home planet. I'll put that in there. Kevin King. Yeah, man. Actual footage of him holding on to his lie. Why the Nigerians Turkish?
No, the Turks are Nigerian.
There you go. I tell you, man. We're laughing about this and everything, and I think everybody will get by, and we'll know that this is just. If anything, I'm hoping that they just won't let one idiot come out here and ruin this for everybody. Man, sure. I think it should draw people closer together. You know, maybe help people keep an open mind about things. I don't know. And it really makes me, and it really does make me angry. But I ain't gonna lie, for the last few days I've been entertained.
Of course.
I have been so entertained by this. This is my new favorite reality show. And I'm gonna tell you what's gonna happen. This is what I meant to tell you earlier. Here's what's going to happen with Jussie Smollett. Jussie Smollett will not do time.
He won't do time.
He won't do time because they want to make an example out of him. But he might have to pay something in fees for all the resources.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, he's going to have to pay.
So they're going to dig in his pockets. He won't do time. Career will take a major hit. I would say just about ruin. But today, who knows? But if I had to think about what the resolution would be with his situation, the next thing he'll do, he'll be that disgraced D-list celebrity that's going to be on some reality show.
Reality show, yeah.
He's going to be in a house full of other celebrities who either careers are gone, there has been, so they've been in some scandal.
Right. And we ain't talking about Dancing with the Stars.
No.
He ain't going there. It's one of those big brothers that nobody watches.
Yeah. It's going to be one of those channels that you didn't even know exist when you flip too far ahead on cable. And it's going to be him living in a duplex with like Tanya Harding or some shit like that.
Yeah, Scaramucci.
Yeah, yeah, and he'll, you know, they'll we'll have a good laugh about it. He'll be laughing about it too, and later on, everybody will think it's funny. But even though we've all gotten past it, I don't think his career is going to make a comeback.
When he's older and doesn't quite look so much like himself, he'll get some bit parts.
Yeah,
where it'll be like. That dude looks familiar, but I can't think of where, from what.
Or it'll be something where somebody, some person will make a movie or a TV show, and this will be a bit of stunt casting.
Oh, you know, yeah.
Bringing him in there. It'll be funny bringing him in to play a role.
I wonder if he'll do entertainment on cruise ships.
Probably, yeah, he might. I mean, because the thing is celebrity is celebrity. Once we get past this, everybody's going to be mad now, but everybody's going to have this curiosity. They're going to be like, hey, let's just say it is on a cruise ship. You hear Jussie Smollett's playing? Guy that did that? Oh, man, we got to see this.
Right, right.
And you ain't going to even be mad at him.
Right. Or you go to the Midwest and there's dinner theater. Seriously, I mean, I was in Kansas in Overland Park, and our friends took us to dinner theater. And there's some stars from 70s sitcoms
really?
In them. Bonnie Franklin and I forgot who else in a Neil Simon play. And it was good. They were good. The food was good. The play was good. But you're like, huh, so okay. There's a certain point in your career where you're doing this. And people go like, whatever happened to them? Well, they're still working.
Yeah. There'll be some Geico commercial with Urkel and Alf or something. And he'll be on there.
Man. That's, I mean, those are beloved people. This is you know, you see those, you're like, oh, yeah. You see, you're like, oh, this motherfucker.
Yeah. Al, don't put me in with that asshole. People actually like me.
Man, it weirds me out that the dad on Alf was just a big-time crack addict the whole time.
Yeah, and still a better person than this asshole. Right? He was? Yeah. Wait a minute, what?
Yeah. No, seriously, he was.
Wow, I did not know.
Yeah.
If you look at the dad on Alf, man, he looks like Luke 30 years from now. Wow. Like he was like very like suburban, skating out with a glass. Yeah. Oh, well. Well, you know what? I mean, what do you guys think will happen to this dude right here? I'd like to listen to some of you guys out there. Hear what you got to say. If you want to give us a phone call or send an email to us. What are you laughing, TJ? He's done.
He's done, yeah.
He's done. Well, come up here and tell us then. In every legal facet that
you're allowed to speak.
Yeah.
That's right. TJ's a lawyer.
Yeah, TJ knows law.
Kung Fu TJ Esquire.
I don't. Nick, I was trying to just sit and watch the show.
You never try to sit and watch the show.
Hey, we didn't know you had legal advice. You spoke up.
You do know.
And you know what is fun? He's like, I just want to watch the show. But meanwhile, he was over the whole time. He's done.
And every legal aspect possible, he done.
I'm like, man, okay, TJ, would you like to come up, please? Obviously, you have some words.
I'm just saying that.
Mike, thank you. I'm helping you, man. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I'm just saying that, first of all, TMZ found out about the brothers buying the ski mask and the other equipment, and once TMZ gets a hold of you, there ain't no escaping that.
Right.
But realistically speaking, you are innocent until proven guilty.
Yes.
But that's a lot of evidence. There's a lot of crisscross. In the 21st century, there's too much footage, too much. You can dig up anything. They've already pulled back and went down to the really what's going to kill him is not him. It's the brother's mistakes. That's the real loophole in a lot of this. Because yeah. they left the nastiest trail ever. They didn't hide any of the items. They didn't hide any of the information. Shoot, they got caught on camera buying the ski mask, right. the rope, and everything.
And they found all this stuff in their apartment.
And they found all that stuff in their apartment. And then on the same day, they flew out to Nigeria. There's just – with them, that's the mess up. Because with him, you know, you can go out there and you can fib, and it's really – that becomes the whole he said, she said thing mm-hmm. with a lot of things. But, man, it's – he fucked up by choosing two Nigerian brothers who obviously weren't ready for this.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, okay, it's their word saying he paid us. Can he still say, I didn't pay anybody? These are guys that attacked me, and now they're telling you this lie, and you believe them instead of believing me, the victim.
That's when you can go into transactions. Money has to come from somewhere. There is always a trail to money.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
And you know what? That's the thing. If there's money involved, I mean, maybe. I don't think he's going to do any time. But there's a possibility that, I mean, depending on how deep this goes, maybe, you know, if he really did go in and there's money involved and he committed this felony by having a money transaction involve the police. Because you asked me the other day, could there be any kind of what are the legal ramifications of this?
Right, right.
And I pulled up an MSNBC report that I played again on Monday, where one of the women on the panel explained, you know, if they really want to take it that far, how far it could possibly go.
If it is a hoax, and it's a big question.
Oh, it's a doozy. Yeah.
How much legal trouble could he be in?
He can be in felony legal trouble, and mm-hmm. I think that's part of the reason why he's lawyered up. I mean, when you're the victim of a crime, you usually maybe speak through a spokesperson or you yourself do an interview with Robin Roberts on ABC. But he lawyered up. He actually got a lawyer who represents Michael Cohen, of all people, and he's looking at a class 4 felony. And in Illinois, you can be sentenced from anywhere between 1 to 3 years in prison as a result. You used a lot of time, the police, the energy, the citizens out in the city that were looking to help Jussie Smollett and to see if they could find his perpetrators, but we don't know yet, Kenneth. So let's, everybody should just slow the roll a little bit, right?
No.
But the thing is, man, you always hear people going like, well, they lawyered up. Like, that's a bad thing. Like, they try to put you down for doing that. But if you get any kind of trouble, you should get a lawyer. It's your right.
In this particular case, it does not look good.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it looks good because they always try to make that look like it's something bad. But if you were involved in something and the police or anybody was like saying, I don't know, you might be in on it, the first thing you should do is get a lawyer and not be intimidated by people going, oh, you lawyering up. And yes, I'm protecting myself.
And see, that's the timing of it. When did he lawyer up? Did he lawyer up right after the attack?
Exactly.
Because if you lawyer up right after the attack, that makes it look like I just want to protect myself from this instance. I don't want to make sure that I find these people. But if you lawyer up after these allegations come up, which is what you're supposed to do. I'm not denying that. But if you lawyer up then, that just looks fishy because it's not being proactive, you're being reactionary. And once you're being reactionary, why are you so quick?
But if you were attacked, you wouldn't even think to get your own lawyer until they say, well, maybe you did it yourself.
No, you would want to get – so if – let's just hypothetically
Mike.
Pull out the whole allegations of him falsifying the information. When you get attacked, you're gonna want to find out who did it. You're gonna want to figure out the scenario. You're gonna want to understand what exactly happened. And the first thing that you're supposed to do is, you know, recover, of course. But during that process, anybody who's your dependent or who's responsible for you, the first thing you want to do is get a lawyer. Well, any
you
legal
know what, man? That's crazy because
you want a lawyer.
I agree with Martin. It's like after you got your ass beat and you're a victim, the last thing you're going to do is like go get a lawyer. I'm the victim, man.
Right. And the justice system is supposed to take care of finding whoever attacked me and punishing them.
Well, yeah. I mean, no, think about it. But that we are not as high class people as these people are.
Okay.
You know, you have a name, you have representation, you're a big person.
Well you know, I'm Corey Coleman of DoubleToasted.com. Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm a high profile person too. Here. Yeah, come on, man.
Yeah, these people have real names. Nah. But on the real, like when you have a lot on the line, and this is like, you know, I'm just thinking in my head. When you have a lot on the line, the most responsible thing to do is to always make sure that your legal ends are tied up because you never want anything coming back to you that can ruin what you've built up.
I'll take your word for it. It doesn't matter if you're a victim, legal guy.
It doesn't matter if you're on the opposite side. always make sure you have your legal situations tied up, because it can always branch into a million different things, because it can evolve into a scenario where it's he said, she said.
Sure. No, I get that. But I certainly don't agree with, or I don't even understand it, is looking at somebody suspiciously because they get a lawyer later in the process.
It's not necessarily that he got it later in the process. It's that he got it after the allegations began.
And let me just say this.
That's the time to do it.
While I agree with I'm with Martin on why would you get a lawyer after getting your ass whooped?
You're not saying like you wake up.
That's what you said. You said you take a day just to kind of heal, catch your breath, and just kind of.
I didn't say a day. No, I'm saying the first thing you do is like you always like you got a lot going on as a victim, and the police will help you because you are the victim, and they'll make sure that the legal aspects are normally taken. Because
everybody can't even afford everybody can't even afford the doctor bills they're about to get. How are you gonna get a lawyer?
I'm talking on a different higher level of individual.
When you have a high profile
individual, those are like that's the way you focus it on.
But it does
that's
not
at the very least. Yeah. Once again, different lawyers, different styles. I was taught that way.
But I get what this woman's saying though, because it's already a fishy story, and then all these things came out. And then you get your lawyer. It's never going to sound good when the eyes are on you all of a sudden, and evidence comes out that you might be lying. This is no way to say I got a lawyer and look good.
But if this comes up and his eyes are on you and you don't have a lawyer, you're like, well, I'm not getting a lawyer because I want to look innocent. You are fucking yourself.
No, I'm not saying don't get a lawyer.
Because you have no one, you know, being your advocate.
Martin, I ain't saying don't get a lawyer. Get a lawyer. Just realize you're gonna look guilty as fuck when you get a lawyer. That's it.
It's really all perspectives. It's you have to remember that, especially when it comes to a lot of much more touchy subjects as sexual assault, hate crimes, things like that. It's all perspective and time. And it even comes down to timing. It comes down to anything because these are the lines in which case a single word of mouth, a single change of articles of evidence can throw off what other people believe, because the world right now in media,
sure,
they're wishy-washy or they side with something before even hearing the evidence. And so hypothetically, you know, yes, he got a lawyer after everything was said and done, just as he wanted to catch his case. He wanted to make sure that he's protected, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, you have these people who are already suspicious. The suspicions were already at a peak, and then he gets a lawyer after all of that has already built up. It's not helping you.
Should he have not gotten a lawyer?
No. He should have still gotten a lawyer. I'm just saying that that's what it looks like.
Look, it don't even matter. We can argue. He got a lawyer. He looks like he's
– like it looks
bad no matter what. It ain't nobody going to solve none here. Yeah. So
the one thing her saying like, well, he could get a year to 3 years. It's like, well, that's on the books. And he could, but realistically, like, it's her job to come in there and say stuff like that to get you charged up. If he gets charged, even with the 1 to 3 years, it's going to be probation. He's going to be doing it. He's going to be paying a fine. He's not going to do any time.
Let's put it this way. Let's hope it's probation, because his ass is too pretty to go to jail. So let's hope. You know, I mean, I'm mad the brother, but I don't wish that on him right there, because he will be somebody's bitch.
Yeah, he's a little too shiny.
Yeah, he's a little too shiny.
Too clean.
Yeah.
Got them ice. No, I think the problem is that he did this during Black History Month, you know.
Well, he made history, didn't he? Yeah. His black ass made a lot of history, didn't he?
I mean, if you think about it.
So now he has to go up on the board in the classrooms.
What'd you say, Lou? Yeah, Luke got scared. Luke had a flashback.
Yeah, what you saying, Luke?
Luke was like, I don't want that again.
I know how this can go.
Martin, I'm not disagreeing, and you're not wrong. Yeah, it's just it's all about perspective.
Don't worry about it. Yeah, he'll be all right. He'll be all right.
Or he won't. But
he probably won't. But I'm talking.
I mean, at this point, it's all about like, well, how bad is it going to get?
He's back to tell her. He's so scared to say something, Luke. He's back there talking to TJ. He's like, man, can I just run this by you before I say it? What I was going to say.
TJ's his lawyer.
Yeah,
his
lawyer. Yeah. Luke lawyered up.
Look suspicious.
My man, doing all that, playing all those heroics out there. Talking about I'm the gay Tupac.
And above all, I fought the fuck back.
Ooh.
That's what I'm see what I'm saying? See what I'm saying? How bad? Yeah. Went out to one of his shows and just lied. Just looking at the audience, just lying to a thousand faces out there. Well, hundreds at least.
I just figured it was a lie, the whole thing, saying I fought the fuck back. I was like, two big brothers like that with a rope? I don't think you did.
But now he's trying to boast.
Right.
Shit, I'm surprised he didn't say it was six of them. Right. It was six of them. But I fought the fuck back. Yeah. Thank you. Bitch ass. Oh, man. Maybe he had to laugh at this. Who am I fooling? No, I'm not. No. Yeah, brother, you might want to brush up on that Tupac.
But he's in it to believe anything, won't they? Oh.
Might say he's not even gay. They don't understand. When I took him to the ass, I really wasn't gay. Joke's on them. You motherfucker, you.
I fought the fuck back. Man. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. How'd that work out?
Are you for real, yeah, Negro?
Yeah. Lost that fight, didn't you? And I fought the fuck back.
Yeah, you said, why would he do something like that? There you go.
Still don't get it, man.
I know. The fact that you have a crowd at your shows. That wasn't enough, huh? Wasn't enough.
Mm-mm. No, there you go, people. If nothing else, hey,
fame,
you
know, is a greedy beast.
Exactly. If nothing else, man, if nothing else, you've learned a lesson about ego and greed. It really can. They say this dude's smoking crack. Oh, yeah. Greed and ego, man, can tear you down. It is hard. It is really hard out there. I'm the gay Tupac. Sure. Yeah, let's see how that works out in prison. See how hard you get when you come out. Oh, let me see here.
Shit. I never want to reach that level of fame.
No, I don't either, man.
Like
I don't
having
either.
Myself on a T-shirt.
Can't trust this guy for nothing, man. Shit, I knew he was lying when he said he went to DTmerch.com, got one of them shirts. No, he didn't. I knew he didn't get that Kung Fu TJ shirt like he said.
Now, TJ, don't let this happen to you over the shirt.
Yeah, TJ, you on a shirt now, man. Don't get too gassed up, man.
I got attacked by two homeless dudes.
But my Kung Fu TJ shirt fought the fuck back. Oh, we got that classic black tee with the white logo. I'm not going to lie to you, man. All this stuff is good up in here.
Buy my
shirts, man. And that Kung Fu TJ shirt, man, that is going to be up maybe a few days after February.
That is sweet.
I love that shirt, Martin. I love it, that shirt. And people are sending us pictures of themselves with that shirt on. It's a great shirt right there. It looks good. I want to thank Kung Fu TJ himself for blessing us with his image and immortalizing him on people's bodies out there. And get that while it lasts. Because once February is gone, or, you know, maybe a little bit after February, where that shirt is gone too. Also, please help us out here to keep these shows going for you, these live streams, these programs. You know, we do that with your support. And that is why I implore you to go to doubletoasted.com and subscribe, donate, whatever you can do to help us provide the toasted goodness for the people out there. You know, I found, you see Luke up in here.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give him that sad fade right there. You know, I actually found Luke on the street, man.
Did you?
Yeah, Luke was out there cold. He did not have that toasted goodness on his body. You know, help us help children like Luke. Look at him. Look at him right there. Still cold right there. You know, that's how I found him on the street. He was in a cardboard box. But fortunately, I pulled him off and I gave him that toasted goodness. Now look at him today. He's in college. He's working for South by Southwest. That's the kind of success story that you can have if you help spread that toasted goodness around the world. And you know something? Go see the site. 7 days for free. If you don't like it, you can stop at any time. Keep the audio. Audio's free. SoundCloud, iTunes. And when you do come back, we made it very easy for you to get on board with us and subscribe or donate or whatever you want to do. Appreciate your support. Thank you very much for that. And last thing that I want to let you guys know before we get on with our reviews here. What's up? Okay. No, you just cheap.
Those are the Canadian.
Oh, those are Canadian dollars on there too.
No, I was just no.
He's trying to get you to give him one.
I know. It ain't happening. I know. I made you buy yourself. Buy your own image. Cruise. You know, we are doing a little something different. We're trying something a little ambitious. We got our cruise coming up for our 5th anniversary. That's going to be August 15th through the 19th. We hit the water for our 5th anniversary, and we're going to be going 4 days on board the Forever Fun Carnival Dream. Departure from Galveston to Cozumel, Mexico. Packages start at $558. Upgrade to the balcony cabin for $746. All food, entertainment, accommodations, taxes, and fees are included. Price also includes the show that we'll be doing for you. Cruise includes activities for the kids and the teens if you want to bring the family. Payments are refundable until June 14th of 2019. Contact Dina Campbell Harris, 904-716-2321, or you can get her by email, dinaharristravel@bellsouth.net. That's DenaHarristravel at bellsouth.net. Why are you talking to him, man? You don't ever want to talk to us. What? He's just over there just chatting it up with TJ. Mm-hmm. Scared to talk to us.
Don't be scared, Luke.
Don't be scared, Luke. Don't be scared at all. Hey, I don't usually go back and do recaps of shows, but I got to show y'all this right here. And if we're getting on with the reviews, I promise you.
He's going to be like, oh, man, come on. Not again.
Boy, they're talking about how many people should play Jesse Smollett in his story.
Uh-huh.
And all of them are females. Oh, forgot that girl's name.
Oh, isn't she the one from Temptation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, she is, man. And she would make a great Justice Smollett. I ain't lying, man. Put a beard on her. Beat her ass up, you know. Yeah, let me see here. Orlando meetup. I'm glad you asked about that, Melissa. Truth is that when we get to Orlando, now you know we're going there because of our YouTube partner, Broadband TV, and they have us kind of booked up for the whole time. I'm going to be doing a panel. I'm going to be moderating a panel. I'm going to be on a panel and moderating a panel. So I definitely will have very little time. And I just found out Thursday when we get in, we even have a dinner that night. So that's not going to be.
Oh, fancy.
Yeah.
You going to wear your suits?
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah, man. Yeah, you know, I'm actually going to dress up like all these other these 15-year-olds out there. I'm going to get my YouTube hair. You know, those bangs that flop over like anime hair.
Uh-huh.
I already got my skinny jeans. Coming in wearing a beanie, walking around with a skateboard. Hey, kids, I got a YouTube channel just like you. Check me out.
It's totally rad, dude.
Yeah, man. Like, my reviews are lit, man. Beat it, Grandpa. Fuck you, man. I mean, what do you mean?
You little snot nose. I mean,
Hey, bros.
Yeah.
Let me see here.
Don't bro me if you don't know me.
Somebody had to say, that's his sister, Corey. Well, good. That's even more perfect.
That's right. They do that same last name. I didn't even think about that.
I didn't even think about that, too. Oh, yeah. She's from the Great Debaters, too. Yeah. Well, shit. That's even better.
Wow.
Yeah. She looks just like him. Perfect.
I wonder if she's going, oh, my God, my brother. Or she's saying, like, well, you tried.
No, I think she's going like, oh, my God, my brother. Of course, this dumbass fucked up. He always
isn't
does.
That your brother? Huh? No.
Yeah, people talk about, hello, youth. This could be me. Yeah, so I don't know. I don't think we're going to have time. So unless you want to – let me just say no. I'm not going to try to do that.
Don't push it.
Nah, we're not going to have time to do it, man. And I'm sorry about that. I was really wanting to, but they said that we had to really – stick to the convention this year over at Playlist.
Uh-oh. So they tightening the leash on you.
Oh, they, you know.
You and Sammy ran around too much.
Oh, yeah.
Strayed from the program.
Hell yeah, man.
Get your ass back over there. What you think this is? You signed a contract.
Yeah, I hit meeting your so-called fans. Get your ass back over here.
Oh, let me see. I normally don't play these things. Let me see where this is. Oh, it's around. Oh, yeah. Trey timed it. We were having a good time yesterday, boy. We were going off on Billy and his, what may or may not have been his mother on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Our theory is that Billy was playing all parts. He sent me a message of him talking about how his mother left her purse on a train in San Antonio. if that ain't a made-up story.
No, I think she got off in Austin and realized she left her purse on that train that's heading to San Antonio. So they had to hop in the Batmobile and spin around and drive there to catch the train.
You know what? That would be more believable.
I imagine I'm surprised the story didn't include them driving up next to it and him jumping from the car onto the train.
So you say the Batmobile, they might as well have thrown Batman in there. but we were having fun talking about
Bruce, take the wheel.
Oh, Billy. And Miles is on the show. DJ Miles wanted to get on it, man. Give me some of it too. And, well, this is how it worked out. Goddamn, girl. I mean, yeah. That's my mama, man.
I was trying to make it back.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of that 30-second Snapchat thing where you paid the celebrities.
Yeah. Is it Cameo?
Oh, I don't know.
the baby lotion mom saying, bingo, Corey, they're role playing. Yeah, man.
I wonder how many of these he has just saved up already.
Oh, man.
He goes like, I'll use number 32 for this one.
Yeah. You know, and it ain't done yet. Like, y'all think we ain't finished. It's still going.
The train station, they gave us such a runaround. We could have been there in that, but...
That ain't nothing but a white girl he trying to fuck. That ain't his mom. That's what we said yesterday.
Let me know what's up, man. If you get this, all right, bye.
Be fun if you heard like
No.
You did good, girl.
No, listen, I'm gonna be a detective on this.
That's why you killed that joke.
Oh, wait, what happened?
That's why he can't join the show today.
Oh, here it is. Here, let me move back a little bit, just a little bit. It's at 35. Let me move back. Here it is.
That's the way to do it.
I'm used to getting his lies just straight
in,
out.
Bringing in characters.
Yeah.
Other cast members.
I can't wait for him to bring in. I can't wait for this shit to turn into that scene like from The Clumps where he's playing every role of the family. Billy play. Next week we're going to get Mama Brooks and Daddy Brooks. No. See what happened was my dad left his wallet in Amarillo, man. Hit my dad right now. I am Mr. Brooks. I did lose my wallet in Amarillo.
Yes, I was there and saw the whole thing.
It contained my rent check.
We will be out on the street if I do not get my wallet back.
And we don't want that, do we?
No, Mama, we don't.
And the week after that, Felix ends up calling you, and he's like, Corey, by the way, WrestleMania is happening, and Billy just so happens to be joining me here. So, you know, I don't know what to tell you. That's why he can't join the show today.
Should I? You want to do this?
It's his first time.
Do you want to tell him how you killed the mood?
The jokes, the whole bit's dead now.
Wow. You
just fucking killed it, man. We were having such a good time.
Yeah. Let me get on this. Let me get some of this. And then Felix, right?
The moment he brought Felix into it, I was like, oh,
this
no.
This shit didn't even make no sense. Anyway, and then check it out. Wait a minute. And then Felix at WrestleMania. And then Billy Bro shows up. And he's like, hey, Billy's here with me. Huh? Am I right? Come on, y'all. Well, I have never seen Luke. You feel better?
Yeah. See,
I have never seen somebody like when I because somebody usually tell a joke that bombs, but it'll be kind of quick.
Yeah,
his shit was like in slow motion.
And wouldn't stop.
And it wouldn't stop. Like, he had a whole chapter settled. He wrote a story.
There was a point when I realized, oh, this is a bomb. But we've had people bomb. We made a joke about it. But he just kept going. And I was like, dang, it's not even a place to interject. Now I feel bad, but there's not even a place to save him. Like I couldn't get my fingers underneath to raise it up.
No, I was looking at him the whole time when about the first second or so. I was like, damn, he's dead. And he don't even know it.
I know.
This brother here.
Billy just so happens to be joining me here. So, I don't know what to tell you. That's why he can't join the show today. Oh, my God.
and then he had to explain it. And you see, that's why he couldn't be here, right? I looked at him and I was like, man, I really don't want to be the bad guy today. I said, like, brother, why don't you take this?
Yeah, so I was baffled as to why it was taking you so long to step in.
It was just too easy.
Yeah.
And I know.
It Martin, was his first
I,
one. And...
I like for my prey to actually, be at full capacity, man. When I'm hunting, I want there to be some sport there. I don't want the wounded one.
Yeah. It's like a wounded baby deer that just walks up and sniffs the barrel of your shotgun.
Yeah. You're
like, am I really going to pull the trigger on this?
It's already seeing somebody just kind of sick already. Like, well, you dying already, man.
Where's the sport in this?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, man.
I mean, I can't save you, but
and they said they said but he just took the heat off very quickly.
He sure did.
And he said he fucked up because everyone knows WrestleMania is in April.
Wow, somebody made Skull laugh.
Yeah. Boy, I got to watch that one more time. Just one more time. I'm done.
Let me see it.
The lies end now. Catfish.
Oh, no.
Then Felix, right?
The moment he brought Felix into it.
We have to drive back to San Antonio. Am I doing good?
Oh, yeah. That's why he can't join the show today.
Should I... You want to do that
now?
Catfishing.
So this show's so long
that it's hard to find the spot.
It's hard to find the spot, but I'm gonna get it though.
You got to bookmark it.
I know.
You find it again.
I know.
And the week after that, Felix ends up calling you, and he's like, "Corey, by the way, WrestleMania is happening, and Billy just so happens to be joining me here. So I don't know what to tell you. That's why he can't join the show today."
Marty, I'm laughing at you because we're in the middle of you just kind of like, oh God. did you see yourself?
Just now I did.
You got to see yourself, man.
You got
to see your expression here, man. You were just I've never seen you so into your fingernails. I mean, it's, you just had the realization early, like, oh my God, he is dead. That is you, by the way, midway through.
Yeah, at the point he brought Felix into it, I was like, we already have our target. Don't try to deflect to Felix. He's got nothing to do with any of this. We ain't trying to talk about Felix right now.
Yeah, Felix has nothing to do with this. but in Miles's world, he was a main player.
For that, Felix ends up calling you, and he's like, "Corey, by the way, WrestleMania is happening, and Billy just so happens to be joining me here. So I don't know what to tell you. That's why he can't join the show today."
Oh my God!
Should I? You want to do this?
Oh,
should
man. I?
He was so enthusiastic.
I know. And he just watched it. The air just kind of start to go out.
You just saw him,
And then that's why he can't.
Boy, yeah. You just saw him just bleed out. And then Felix, and that's when he just, Felix. Felix at WrestleMania. WrestleMania. And Billy just has to be there.
I could be overanalyzing, but I think he thought, if I bring in Felix and I do the, by the way, that'll get the big laugh. and then the WrestleMania will just be a sprinkling of little extra details to flesh it out.
You sound crazy too. Don't let him bring
I'm just trying to figure out what his brain pattern was.
He
at the time.
Had none. He's one of those dudes that non-prepared, just wanted to be in on the joke. Yeah, and then deflect.
Yeah, deflect.
Well, in my defense, really, you know, who do you deflect to?
Carlos.
Well, in my defense, you know, it wasn't like when Carlos did this thing. Well, we talking about you. Carlos ain't here. You are. Carlos didn't fuck up. Yeah, you did.
Carlos wasn't even in the studio.
Yeah. No, I'm trying to point to somebody who ain't even here. In my defense, you got none. You
know, sit up. What about him?
Talking about. Guys, I love this.
It's his first time.
Shit, it's his first. Yeah. Shit, do you want to tell him how you killed the mood? Or should
the joke's the whole bit's dead now.
Wow,
you just fucking killed it, man. We were having such a good time.
Yeah. Let me get on this. Let me get some of this. And then Felix, right?
The moment he brought Felix into it, I was like, oh.
The shit didn't even make no sense. Anyway, they check it out. Wait a minute. And then Felix at WrestleMania. And then Billy Bro shows up. And he's like, hey, Billy's here with me. Huh? Am I right? Come on, y'all.
What, guys?
Old Man River.
Brother, you knew. Now you know we ain't gonna let you get away with that.
Listen, to be fair, it's my first one, and I gambled with it. So.
Yeah, well, you lost. You ain't even got your clothes now. You lost everything. If that's how you gamble, don't you ever fucking gamble. Don't you even go to Vegas. Don't you even mention Vegas. I took a gamble.
On a bet at all.
Yeah.
On your first hand? Okay.
Wait a minute. I think I have my mortgage in here somewhere, too. My car note.
Okay. Put it all right there.
My wife.
My diabetes medication. He's bet it all.
Miles, don't you ever gamble. If that's how you gamble. Because I can tell you're going to lose everything. Somebody going to come break his knees. What's that? It was baby's first day. Big boy. Yeah.
Next to Martin, like.
Yeah, man. I'm going to tell you something. Well, he learned a valuable lesson today. He will never do that shit again. You see how shook Luke is.
I know. But he's got to get back on the horse.
No, he got to get back. So, Luke, don't you feel bad, man.
Yeah, it ain't easy. Seriously, Luke, we had a week, like three shows in a row, where three guys did just as poorly as you did. It was devastating. And we were like, every day this is going to happen now?
Oh, wow. Maven Creasy had me laugh. She said, that's the reason why they're all wearing black. Because Miles is dying. Yeah. Quickly turned into a funeral, boy. Good one, Maven, boy.
Here lies the Billy bit.
And there's the murderer. Right there.
It flame burned out too soon.
Jesus, boy. Look at this. Man, sit your ass down. There you go, boy. I tell you, if you get up here, man, you're taking a risk. You either better know what you're doing.
It was a light night, too. We were just kind of like, just
nothing. How did you... Reminds me of a quote from one of my favorite movies, Training Day.
Uh-oh.
Alonzo, how did you fuck up this bad? Well, in my defense, you ain't got none. You can't defend that shit. Yeah, boy.
Whew.
Yeah, she even got this boy crying right here.
It is something to go back and watch it.
Isn't it?
And just watch all our faces in the breakdown.
Well, he brought it all down. He brought it all down.
The moments of realization.
Shit.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Yeah, he was Killmonger that day. Burn it all.
The studio, no, the jokes.
Everything. Oh, well, there you go.
Ah, well.
All right, let's go ahead and get to our review right here. Speaking of burning down things, got these dragons up here, Martin. Mm-hmm. And I was telling Martin at the beginning of the show,
Look, we've been trying to bring we've been trying to train these dragons for three goddamn movies now. We got some got to give. Either they're gonna learn to behave, or we got to let them go, or something. You know, this has got to end. And some people say, well, you know what? The third time is a charm. Supposedly, I mean, even though we've had tons of shows, we've had straight to video or streaming movies.
Yeah. Did they some of those?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. I think How to Train Your Dragon was on Netflix. Was it? Well, I'm not sure. It was. Yeah. Yeah, it was a few TV shows.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And so, but the, as far as the, you know, the big ones, the theatrically released movies, They say that, okay, this is all part of the plan anyway. This is a trilogy.
Right.
Tell you what, you get to give us one more chance to get these dragons in line, and we're going to be done. And in this one, you know, there's something that goes with training these dragons and getting them to trust you, forming a bond, you know, actually falling in love with these dragons. Thing is, they're dragons, Martin. You know, at some point, even though they might behave, humans are always going to be assholes, Martin. And you're not going to stop hunting the big game.
Yeah, humans and giant lizards just don't mix.
Just don't mix, man, even when they're good. You know, Jurassic Park, they eat dinosaurs eating everybody. These dragons are nice. They living side by side, but there's always some asshole that has to hunt them down for a trophy or their pride or ego. Three movies in a row. That's why they finally said, you know, hey, dragons, it ain't y'all. It's us.
It's us.
We got to end this. We got to break up. And don't, we ain't just going to put y'all out in the cold. We're going to find a place for you, a hidden world where we can't be there with you in the promised land, but
we'll get you there.
But we'll get you there, and dragons will live in peace. And that's why a lot of people are dreading one of the greatest cinematic love stories of all time, Hiccup and Toothless. Is this the one where Hiccup and Toothless will actually have to say goodbye, split up each other for the well-being of everyone? Let's go ahead, and you know what? And even if that's the case, damn, boy, I mean, when these movies used to be fun, now y'all getting kind of deep, kind of making me feel little heartbreak. Is that good or bad? Does it even happen? Let's go ahead and take a look at this trailer for How to Drain.
I don't want to look at your search history.
Well, Martin, I have a script for a porn version of this.
I think you're too late.
Gotta stop doing that. How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World, and we'll be back with our review.
This is Berk, son. It was the home of your grandparents and their grandparents before them. But out there, beyond the edge of the world, lies the home of the dragons. And I believe it's your destiny to one day find this hidden world.
You do know my leg isn't a chew toy, don't you?
Is this what you want?
Yeah,
go get it.
How am I supposed to get down? Hey, bud, wait up.
Well, I started out all alone.
He's not the only one.
I'm learning to fly.
Another night fury.
But I ain't got weeks.
It's more like a bright
fury. A light fury.
Yeah, yours is better, probably.
You know, that's what I love about this. It gets to a point where Toothless just looks at Hiccup and say, are we fucking?
Right. Is the answer no?
The answer no.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. You mean there's something out there that wants this? Goddamn right, I'm leaving yours.
Yeah, it's pretty simple.
You know I was just around because you would feed me. We were never really friends, right?
I could have ate you at any time.
Yeah.
Well, the good old days.
There is an armada with enough cages for all of our dragons.
They are Peter.
This is a new kind of enemy. We need to find the hidden world.
I will destroy everything you love. Nothing without your dragon.
If Grimmel succeeds, there won't be any dragons left. And it's up to us to put an end to it.
So, what are you going to do about it?
Suit up, gang.
Fly on, yo!
We have one shot at this.
You brought a baby to a battle? I couldn't find a sitter.
In the hidden world, it really does exist.
Now that's a king.
You're right, bud. It's time.
Well, look who it is.
That's my man.
Yeah.
Not.
Knocked his ass out the picture real quick. I told you not to see him no more. You with me now. Positive note right here. From the very beginning. I did not mind Jay Baruchel. I did not mind his voice.
You know what? I got to say that this is the first time I didn't either.
This is the first time. I mean, you know, because for the last two movies, here's the thing. I can never take. Maybe in the first movie when we meet him, he's a nobody,
right?
Still kind of the nerdy outcast of the village.
It kind of works, even though it's a bit grating.
Yeah, but you know, we got Jay Baruchel sounds like he's always talking through his nose, and I could never take him as a leader, man. I could never take him seriously as a leader. So when he was on the come up at the end of that movie, and by the second one, where everybody's listening to him. I couldn't buy that. I couldn't buy that at all. But this, you know, and especially with that name, man, you know, Hiccup.
Yeah.
It's like, brother.
But that sounds like a slur. Like, yeah, this is because we don't respect you, so we call you Hiccup.
Yeah, Hiccup. Hiccup ain't a leader's name. You a sidekick. Hiccup ain't even a human sidekick name. That's like the comedy relief dog, you know, in a Disney movie. Come on, Hiccup. And that voice that he had, man.
That voice.
Yeah. Don't you ever tell me what to do coming up here talking like this. Yeah. Now, see, what we're going to do is, now, what you're going to do is get the fuck away from me and shut up. Turn your narrow ass around and mind your own goddamn business. That's what you're going to do. Coming up here talking, I mean, like this. You're going to leave me the fuck alone is what you're going to do.
Goddamn, man.
No, I didn't like it. The movie's
fine. I didn't like it either, but goddamn.
Look, because the thing is, I know it's all part of the joke.
Right.
But it wasn't funny anymore. By the time the second movie came around, you need to be a leader, man. Time for you to, first of all, change your name. It ain't Hiccup. No, I don't care what your name. Change it to Hiccup, the Dragon Master, or some shit. But you can't be taken seriously with Hiccup, and you sure can't be taken seriously talking like this. Be a man. Be a leader. You're going to do it. You're leading dragons.
Put some bass in your voice.
Put some bass in your voice. I couldn't stand it. But here, Hiccup, he actually, okay, the name ain't changed, but I, you know what I liked about the character and the writing in this movie is that by the time we get to the third film, and if you take a little bit of the second one, the character really does evolve.
Well, you know what? It's one of those things where with the second movie, they kill off his father, the leader. So he has to ascend to that point.
Yeah. No, he has to actually step up, man. And they do a great job by making him mature. And when you make him mature, you actually have evolved the character. You know, that's one of the things that sequels need to do. That's what comedies fall into when they make the trap they fall into when they make sequels. The characters always stay the same or they devolve.
True.
You know, and this being somewhat of a you know, it's a family film, so it's somewhat of a comedy, too. It was nice to see that they actually matured the character. However, they also were able to keep a lot of his humor side there too. You know, it wasn't like they abandoned that completely. And in having him evolve and mature and being a leader, they also made him somewhat of a badass.
Ouch.
You're a demon! No, no, I'm not a demon. I'm not a demon. See? Dude, just a guy.
Okay, now you just had to ruin it.
That's what I thought, too, because it started out, I was like, all right, he's a badass now. But he was never a badass when he didn't turn around and do something like that.
Dude, I'm not a demon. It's like, your enemies are scared of you. That's the whole point. Go with it.
Yeah, everything that I just did, just building him up, he just completely ruined. I just told the people. y'all don't know. This ain't the same Hiccup y'all knew back in the day. Shit, tell him, man. No, I'm still the same dude. Shut up, man. Fucking.
Well, the thing is, I mean, he is – you know, he has matured. But I was looking at it, I was like, you know, even he still looks like a Ken doll. I mean, even like later when he's got his facial hair, I was like, all right, now you look like a Ken doll with a beard. He kind of looked like Kenny Loggins, actually.
Yeah, you know what? I tell you what he looked like.
Danger Zone?
I'm going to find him.
He's Kenny Loggins.
Yeah, he did. But for those who don't know, for those of the kids who don't know Kenny Loggins.
Oh, man, you kids don't know Kenny Loggins?
Here, I'm gonna show you what he looked like. Because they tried to actually mature him with that beard. And when he actually, like in the pictures, he looks kind of cool. But when he takes off that pimp coat and that he looks like a cracked out Jake Gyllenhaal.
Right. He does.
Well, Spider-Man sees me.
Yeah, he's going to laugh his ass off. I take the way y'all tried. He got a beard now. No, he's still a bitch.
Yeah.
Look at my man hair.
Yeah, what about it? Be a man. Let me quit talking, man. Just it's that voice. I'm telling you, I don't like it.
You know what? What makes me laugh is that everything you're saying is what I was thinking the whole time. But I was like, I know nobody's thinking less.
No, I'm thinking it. I'm right there with, man. You know we look at things that people don't see. However, you're talking about, look, we were talking about how in the movie he does step up, man.
He does.
And that after that scene right there, you really do get moments where it's when the character has to make decisions. I mean, you know, I thought it was cool that they kept the character kind of the character that we know from the other movies. They didn't try too hard.
Right.
They didn't make him do push-ups and get all, you know, big biceps and everything. No,
would have been nice though. I mean, he's a Viking dragon rider. You think he could, you know, bulk up a little bit?
If I was a Viking, I'd tell him, man. Like if I was his dad, I was like, you know, you adopted, right? You didn't come from
like,
this.
This is not gonna work.
No, hell no.
I'm not leaving my kingdom.
Your little narrow
this.
Ass did not come from this sack right here. No.
You know why they call you Hiccup, right? Yeah.
Well, I always want a little girl. Tell you what, man, just put on a skirt and just tramp around. But no, you know, we say this with Hiccup, and Hiccup really is they really did. I like the way that they played with the character where they did not force him to be too masculine to actually be who he is. They really did say, like, leadership comes in how you think,
right?
Your smarts and also your confidence, because I've always liked that about the movie, that against all these other big Vikings, all these other big characters, all these other manly men out there and manly women. I mean, let's get every – look, really, every girl in the village could beat his ass,
yep,
too.
Easily.
But it's the confidence that he has, and I like that. And it actually shows you actually believe that when he's telling people what they need to do, it's out of – not because – they can overpower him, but because they can respect him. And I really enjoyed the
it's because he's smart.
Yeah, exactly. No, I really enjoyed this character, this version of the character that we had here.
Nothing's accidental when it comes to old Grimmel. He lives for the hunt, to get inside the mind of his prey, to control its every choice. It's all a game to him.
Well, he doesn't know who he's playing with.
Yeah, well, we've dealt with this kind before.
Don't underestimate him, Hiccup. Mark my words. He'll be back.
Then we'll be waiting for him.
Oh, you hear that? Now you got some bass up in there. They won't be waiting for him. Look for him.
I know. He's a bit overconfident in a lot of these scenes, yeah, actually.
But at least he's trying, man.
We'll be waiting.
Look, he mean mugging there. We'll be waiting on him.
Right.
You know what hurt for him to do that?
Drop his head to give the stare. Yeah. We'll be waiting for him.
I'm not talking through my nose now. Well, actually, yeah, you are. But, you know, it's a little deeper. No, I really like that, man. And like I said, I'll be honest with you, man. The character kind of grated me through some of the other films. I finally feel like they got him to the point where I enjoy him.
Yeah.
But you know, again, that's me. I don't know. You might have liked him from the last movies too. I don't know.
No, I liked what his character was about in the first movie. But Hiccup himself, at least Jay Baruchel's voice was a lot to take.
It was good in the first movie. After a while.
But what I liked about his character was that. He wasn't big like the other Vikings, but he was smart. He could create inventions. He was basically like, hey, you guys got all the brawn, but I got technology.
Yeah.
And this is what's going to win the day.
Yeah. And it is a movie about brains over brawn, and not even just, you know, brains as in I'm better than you. It's like, listen, you know, I being a leader is not just brute force. Mm-hmm. It's about thinking things through. And I like the way people respected him in that. Yeah. I even like the way he was, man. You know, I even like the way he was when he showed a tough side. He kept his humor. And I like the scenes that he had with his girl, who's voiced by America. What's her name? American Ferrera.
Oh, yeah.
America Ferrera. America Ferrera. There was a, you know, there's a few scenes where they, you know, they're sitting around and flirting with each other and they're playing around. And it feels, I liked it because it feels like a real couple. You know, in the early stages of love, a courtship and whatnot. I thought that it felt like, you know, for animated characters, man, it felt like an actual interaction between two people. Especially, you know, when you consider these are two animated characters in a very fantastical setting.
Sure.
I thought that they got that down. And, you know, and speaking of tenderness in this movie and emotion, I like that they brought Gerard Butler back.
Me too, because I was actually upset that they killed him off in the second movie.
Yeah, you know, I was too. But
it's okay for him to have two parents. Why you got to do that?
Actually, I can through this movie made me see why they probably killed him off. But there were a lot of scenes in there. Well, not a lot, but there's two flashback scenes, and those scenes are with Little Hiccup and his dad again, who's voiced by Gerard Butler, and. Those scenes were very moving, man. And I, you know, when I looked at that, I thought, you know what, with the evolution that you've done with this character and making this character more likable, it even made the flashbacks, they even pulled me in a little bit more. And it's just, you know, it's just really cool to see like this big, strong man just take his guard down for his son. I mean, there's moments where he just kisses him on the head. He hugs him. I was looking at that, and I was and really, man, that right there, they talk about, you know, you talk about looking at scenes that bring out motherhood. I was like, shit, I'm going to go home make a baby tonight. I want to be a daddy.
But those sailors who turn back told tales of a great waterfall and dragons guarding the entrance to a hidden world. Not just a nest, Hiccup. But a land from which all dragons come.
Even night furies?
Especially night furies.
Those are scary.
Don't you worry. One day I'll find the hidden world and seal it up. So that people and dragons will fight no more.
Boy, daddy instincts kicked in hard after that. Especially when there were these girls behind me. And they were like, every time they showed Little Hiccup, they were... And I said, shut the fuck up.
Tell you what, why don't you go watch the first movie again where he spends the whole time looking at his son going, oh, my God, what a disappointment.
I know.
Hiccup, Jesus, man, could you help out? Put those gadgets away and come help us fight. You know what? Forget it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There was so much disappointment. I liked the way. And you know what? You look at this and it's so sad, too, because you could see there was – it was so much hope in his eyes.
I know. So much promise.
He's like, my son's going to grow up big and strong like me. 10 years later.
Hey, Dad. What do you think about my schematics?
Fuck.
Fuck me life.
I should just feed him to the dragons and put him out of his misery. If the dragons don't eat him, the girls will. But a little hiccup, though. But a little hiccup got to me, man. I'm glad there were some serious moments in there with Hiccup. I'm glad we had some tender moments in there with his dad and his girl. Because while he was getting serious, everybody else had nothing but jokes.
Yeah, and not the Guardians of the Galaxy type jokes. These are the lame old... just whatever gags we can throw together. You know, the thing is that first movie, I really love that first movie, except for two things. Mm-hmm. And that being Jay Baruchel's voice, as we've covered. But the other was the side characters. Because I was like, man, every one of these side characters are just afterthoughts. And they just thought, well, we'll get comedians to do their voices. Kristen Wiig, T.J. Miller, Jonah Hill. And that'll fill it in. And I always notice, yeah. Like, you know, that's the one thing about that first movie where they just really put no work into these side characters. But at least they're on for just a little bit. And they're just kind of annoying, but whatever. But now in this movie, they're half the movie. And I was just like, all right, I can't take it with these guys.
Yeah, the side characters in this movie are, and the problem with the side characters is that they're all there for funny, not even just reactions.
No.
They're there for funny comments.
Uh-huh.
No matter how bad something happens, no matter how much they mess up, they always respond, "Whoa, did you see that?" You know, they're clueless about everything.
And they're anachronistic. They don't fit the time period.
They, you know, and I'm okay with that because Disney, you know, I mean, a lot of family films, characters act it's not unusual for characters to act like out of their time periods, to not even have the same accents in the region at the end. I mean, if that was the case, then everybody in the Jungle Book would be talking like that from Wakanda.
Well, no, Jungle Book's in India.
I'm sorry, you're right.
Wakanda's in Africa.
You're right. You're right. No, you're right. But they ain't got no Indian accents either.
No, they do not.
All of them, you know, all of them sound like they are poo or something. But
okay, technically, and I know you're gonna jump on me for this, but the Jungle Book is because India was colonized by Britain. And it's written by Rudyard Kipling, who writes a lot of those stories about the British colonization in that area.
Martin, I'm glad the way you're telling me, and that don't explain nothing about a bear talking about or orangutan. I want to be like you. Ooh. You know, scoop up the beep, the boop, the boop. You know, I ain't got nothing to do with that region. I ain't got nothing to do with colonizers.
All right, I tried.
Skip the beep, the boop.
Well, the Brits were obsessed with American music.
Sure. So Baloo had all the albums from the jazz age. All right.
Yeah, man. Yeah, you in the Coltrane? Yeah.
But I hear what you're saying. But you know, I don't mind that.
The problem I
have here is that no matter what danger is about, they don't have a proper reaction to it.
Right.
Everything, like either they're in danger. Are they causing danger? And the whole time they're like, "Whoa!" Oh, they got something. Yo, hiccup! Check it out, man. You know, it's like that. No one is ever in fear about something.
Mm-hmm.
No one is ever treating the danger with urgency.
Right, and that's what gives your danger that urgency is how people react to it. And if you get people who are glib or seem to not be focused on it or oblivious to it, it takes the teeth out of it.
Yeah, you know, and I get it, man. You know, it's almost like they're making these characters this silly because they want to keep things from getting too scary. In the movie, they do have some intense scenes. I mean, you're messing with dragons, and in this movie. You know, when the villain comes about, not only does he have his own dragons, but I mean, he has some badass dragons he's got. They
spit acid.
They have scorpion tails and they spit acid and they just leave destruction wherever they go. Like they in the neighborhood, something burning.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is burning down and there are intense scenes where they, you know, there's a lot of destruction going on around these characters. And I think kids can be, they can. Because this is still a family film, and it's a kids' film mostly, more than a family film in a lot of parts. And they want to keep, you know, and it's a silly kids' film too. They want to keep a certain air of silliness in there to let the kids know it's going to be okay, you know, it's going to be fine. The problem is that, like I said, it gets so silly that even for a kids' movie, I like to feel like there is at least a small moment of suspense
mm-hmm.
in there. But if your characters, they just got chuckles and they cracking jokes in every scene, even when the villain's around, well, I guess ain't nothing wrong. Y'all laughing.
It seemed to be infectious because not only did you have those characters who were the comedy reliefs from the earlier movies mm-hmm. as comedy reliefs now, but even a bunch of the Viking warriors just seemed like they were, I don't know, oafs and comedy reliefs and clueless. And it turns into one of those things, and it happens in Disney movies a lot, where all the comedy relief characters mm-hmm. have to fight off the invading army, and suddenly, somehow, they got these skills where they're able to beat people with pots and pans or just bumping into them, and it's always like they're beating them by accident, which makes you go like, oh, I guess these henchmen weren't that bad. weren't badasses to begin with.
Yeah.
And, that happens in this all the time, almost every fight.
Yeah, and I I'm gonna tell you something, man. I don't want to be mean spirited here. I hate to say it, but some of these characters are stupid. They need to die.
Yeah.
That you were jeopardizing the whole mm-hmm. village, the whole community. Yeah. You need to go. And I'm not even playing. There's this one scene in here where somebody, excuse my language, they fuck up majorly.
Majorly.
And
couldn't be any less concerned.
And nobody even turns around. There's not one moment that's like, what the hell is wrong with you?
Oh.
No, they're just kind of like, oh, well, that's your character. You know? It's what you do. You do stupid shit. If y'all laughing about it, it must not be too bad.
Uh-huh.
I'm not. If you're not worried,
I'm not worried. If you like it, I love it.
That's what my man said over here. Couldn't have said any better. I will say some of the humor worked well in some parts. I mean, when it was meant to be silly, like I was laughing at what's his name? He was fat. Now he's kind of. He goes between being sexy and fat sometimes.
Oh, Jonah Hill.
Yeah, Jonah Hill, man. His character was Snout Cloud or whatever. I don't know why they made him that big, because he's actually the shortest one in the village.
Right.
I love that he really did have the short man's complex.
Uh-huh.
He just, everybody was taller than him. He was just like a little chihuahua, always pointing at him, I'm watching you. And people just like, get the fuck out of here. Just cast him aside.
And trying to hit on Hiccup's mom the whole time.
Oh, can you blame her?
No, I cannot.
Got the voice of Kate Blanchett,
yeah.
And the body of every fine chick out there. It's like, yeah, man. It's like, that's Hiccup's mom.
I know.
You look at Hiccup's mom and you look at Hiccup's dad, and it's like, what happened to you, man? You really are adopted.
Like, tell the truth. That wasn't his dad.
Yeah, no, it was not, man. No.
Yeah, it was. And that Hiccup was some night you spent with somebody.
Yeah. Shit, dad went off somewhere and had sex with an elf or something. No, you ain't no Viking. Not at all. You barely a man. But no, you know, it was funny the way he was hitting on his mom. I thought that they could push that a little bit more.
They could have.
Yeah.
I there's little things like that where I was like, you could have pushed this more if you weren't juggling 13 different plot lines.
If you weren't doing all these plot lines. And even the villain, man, I got to say, when the villain came in, I thought Grimmo the Grizzly, who was voiced by F. Murray Abraham.
He's like, you goddamn right.
Yeah, ladies. You like what you hear? But Grimmo the Grizzly, I got to say, when the character first came in, he starts out cool. He's got a cool look. He's got a very, very cool and menacingly, swagger to him, man. And I like the design. He kind of looks like a cross between – I figured it out. I was like, who does he look like? He looks like a cross between Hades from Hercules and Billy Idol.
You
put those two together. I love the design on that character, man. But even after a while, he was just a stock boo-ha-ha villain.
Man, every one of these movies, it's somebody who's got a hard-on for dragons that's coming after them. I was like, y'all – I feel like we get the same villain every time. He just switches costumes and comes back. But yeah, you're right. When he first shows up, it's kind of like, uh-oh, this guy's going to be a badass. It takes very little time before you're like, you know, he's kind of not that effective.
No.
He doesn't plan as well as he thinks he does.
No.
And I'm not scared of him anymore.
Yeah, it's only a matter of time, because when he starts out, he's like a Bond villain.
Uh-huh.
Like, he's sitting in the dark when Hiccup comes in, he's like, good evening, Mr. Hiccup. got that light in the darkness.
Uh-huh.
Smoking something. But you know, he comes in. He's very menacing. But after a while, once he starts hooking up with those other side characters and that silly shit kicks in, then the silliness affects him too. Mm-hmm. And after a while, like you say, he just becomes a more of an opposing presence. A force of nature than an actual character.
Yeah, he's something they have to deal with.
To defeat. Exactly. And that's too bad, because that character looks great. I tell you, though, what the movie lacks in urgency, as we mentioned earlier, it really makes up. And as for one, I mentioned the emotion. I think that, you know, there's a lot of scenes in there that they do not only right, but they do very well, that pulls you in with the characters that they choose to develop well. But also, they make it up just in scope. I got to tell you, man, these movies have always been known for that. Like, you know, the first one, they said, okay, you know what? This one, the first How to Train Your Dragon, this is one of the few movies that I've seen where I don't mind watching it in 3D.
Oh, yeah. No, of all the movies I've seen, it's one of the best for the scenes where the dragon is flying. It's rare to see 3D work better than that.
But this one, man, this not only has, again, great flying scenes, but just beautiful environments, beautiful imagery. When they get to the hidden world, which they're showing you right here in the trailers, I'm not spoiling anything, it is gorgeous, man. You know, it's you look at this and it's just lavish. So, you know, the colors are so vibrant. I wish I had been able to see something like this on an IMAX screen when they go there. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. It's almost too much when I say scope, because they got scenes in here where every movie they just increase the numbers of dragons,
right?
Because Hiccup keeps bringing back more dragons, and it's at the point now where the village, it just looked like flies buzzing around shit.
I know. I was like, wait, didn't we start off where there was barely any dragons?
Yeah.
And now we got a dragon infestation.
It's almost like they're pest.
Yeah. They're vermin, because they're gonna consume resources. And you don't have enough to satisfy all this.
No. Somebody got to pull Hiccup aside and say, man, we got to start eating some of these motherfuckers. We got to spay and neuter at least.
Oh, no. We have plenty of sheep over the... Oh, I see.
No, they're eating people now. Yeah. I mean, they took my wife. That was cool. But, man, we got to do something. They might get me. You know, you better spay and neuter some of these. We got to take them out back and euthanize them and put a bullet in the back of their head or something. But the scope of the number of dragons that they have in this is amazing. When you see these scenes where it's just it's overstuffed almost with dragon characters of so many different type of species, it's an incredible sight. Visually it's busy, and usually when you say something is visually busy, that's a criticism.
Not here.
No, it's busy in the sense that it's always giving me something to look at.
Yeah.
Always. The musical score with this is something that I really enjoyed, because it went with the scope of some of the scenes. It's a very sweeping score. And I forgot the name of the composer. John Powell. John Powell. Thank you. Thank you, my man. Jesus, this guy and his fucking jokes, man. You want to break it to him, man? It's really not funny, man. No, thank you.
Thanks, Luke.
No, Luke, we just don't. No, that was a big help, and I mean that, man. Thank you so much. And if I miss anything else, please feel free to let me know. This John Powell did a great score to fit the imagery here, man. And I really loved it, man. I was so scared that when I saw these characters, it was going to get wacky and wackier, this score. Mm. No, it stays to the imagery. It stays to the environments and the scenery. And I will say this, the animation is incredible. I don't know if they had a motion capture involved in this, but the physical acting of this character, of these characters, right down to the body movements to the facial expressions. I thought that they were so expressive. That's one of the reasons why I love the design of Griswold, whatever the name, Gremlin. You know?
Yeah, there's something Grimmel. About him that reminds me of those Rankin Bass stop motion animation characters.
Yeah, you're right, man. You know what it is? A lot of those, if you ever watch any of these stop motion Rankin Bass features from our shows from back in the day, they always exaggerated people's faces. They were either very round or they were very long that.
And just that look in his eye and everything, the smile.
Yeah. You know what I love about his character, though, is that they did animate him to be an asshole, too. Say what you will about him. There's nothing too much about his character, because his character is like that. He did. It's really comical. It's almost comical. He did one shitty thing. And after that, his goal in life was to be a shittier person after that.
Right.
And there's not much to it after that. No real development. It's just like, hey, man, I'm good at one thing, being an asshole. But they animated him so well to fit that.
Uh-huh.
And I love the animation in this. Although there is one sequence in here, and I don't know how you feel about this, Martin, and I was curious to ask you about this, because this was I was dozing off with this, man. There's one scene, while it's animated very well, it's toothless in the new, what's the Spitfire or the Night Fury that they have, the female Night Fury. They have a sequence where the mating dance or the courting sequence,
mm-hmm.
and it just kind of goes on and on.
Yes, it does.
I mean, this is a long scene. And at this point, I was just sitting there like, man, y'all need to get a room or something, because this scene is...
Yeah, you gonna fuck her or not? Because you're about to get friend-zoned. You keep on with these theatrics.
I know.
These shenanigans.
It was going on so long, I almost start to break this up. He got a woman. He got a girlfriend already. Get on out of here. It's so long. I dozed off. And it kept going. It was it me or was I just tired?
Well, I was kind of dozing in myself. be honest, I didn't want to say anything, but now that you fessed up, I might as well admit it. I actually, a lot of what, yeah, it went on too long, but also, it's been bugging me, but I know I've seen that somewhere before.
Mm-hmm.
Not exactly that, but something with our character who's not human meeting the female and having the whole dance ritual and like, oh man, you're blowing it. You got to get it together. I wish I could just lock onto which movie it is.
Well,
or movies.
Yeah.
It's probably been done multiple times.
Well, you know what it reminds me of? I've seen movies that stop with animation set pieces. Some of you might not know what I'm talking about. I might bring up some old references, but I'll bring up a couple anyway. One you might know and one you might not. Sometimes when they stop, it's for the animators to have fun.
Yeah.
Sometimes it works. If you remember The Wizard's Duel. From Sword in the Stone.
Sure.
It was just really was just a sequence for the animated.
Yeah, it
to
has
have
nothing.
Fun.
Yeah, that it didn't need to be in the movie other than it was cool.
But it worked.
Yeah.
It's a classic scene. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go look it up. I'll probably even have the editors put it over this discussion so you can see. The other one is another Disney movie, Pocahontas. They had a scene where the dog was chasing the raccoon, mm-hmm. and the movie just stopped to let them just have this little bit of funny business.
Yeah.
Because I almost think the animators just had some ideas for some cool animation. And that's what this seemed like. It would fit. It started out kind of cool because, hey, this mating dance is funny. But then they just kept going and going with it. I'm thinking, all right, now it's an animated sequence now. It's not really for the audience.
I felt like they were hoping if we keep doing something, we'll come. We'll figure it out. We'll get a good one. Even though it takes a lot to animate that.
To me, I was saying, man, look, if she ain't going to fuck you now, she ain't going to do it at all.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Just give it up, man. We'll move on to something else.
This girl's playing you.
Yeah.
I actually did have that feeling through a lot of it. I was like, she playing you, man.
Yeah.
She working for that dude.
Yeah. I tell you, though, man, with all that said, though, I have to say that it is the emotional arc of the movie that got me. It is the It's that and how it follows through with the theme. One of the things I did love about this is that being the third movie, it followed through with its theme, even though it's a silly, you know, family film leaning towards mostly a kids movie. It followed through with the theme to its difficult end. And you could probably guess what's happening. I'm not going to spell it out for you. But the theme of these movies have always been loss. Now, loss has been Hiccup in the first one, doesn't have his mother. Got his mother back in the second one, but lost his father. It's always been about loss, mainly for Hiccup. And now
lost leg.
He even lost a limb. And you know, now this is dealing with probably the hardest thing for him to have to do. And doing that, you know, having to admit that there's still love for each other, but your lives have gone in two separate directions. You know, I think that's going to get a lot of people. And they know what they're doing. That's why they ended the movie with this, because it will, for a lot of people, put a lump in their throats. I was looking at this and it's like, man, I don't even hang around these two that much, and I'm gonna miss this. You know, maybe I wasn't the hugest fan of How to Train Your Dragon, but there was comfort knowing that Hiccup and Toothless had each other.
Uh-huh.
And you know, I liked that they saw it through to the bittersweet end. I'm not as drawn into the movie as I would like to be, but for the parts that did draw me in, those were the parts that really counted. And you know, and even though they meant it mostly for laughs, I did get some really good deep moments in here, and I did laugh at some of the moments they wanted to. I just think that it was missing this, you know, just a little bit of suspense, just some. So therefore, I can't go a full price, but I can give it a strong matinee. I still think it works great for kids. I still think, you know, for adults, there's going to be moments in there. Like I said, it will pull after your heart, and it will work in those most important moments.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought when they get to the Lost World.
I did say strong matinee, right?
Yeah, you
did. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
When they get to the Lost World, the Hidden World. Matter of fact, they made a big point of saying the Hidden World. Seriously, the rep sent us that.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's in the email. It's like when you talk about this movie, make sure you list it as How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World. Don't just put Hidden World, The Hidden World.
Okay.
Yes. Anyway, The Hidden World is beautiful and it's really impressive. I so wish we could have spent more time there because, I mean, you get to it and you're like, all right, money shot. This is what this is all about.
Mm-hmm.
You're not there for very long, which is too bad because it's the thing I found the most impressive about the movie. And it's probably the only thing I was actually impressed with. And the things you talk about being good are good. The score, the animation, no complaints whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And they up the ante. And still within that, I can see within this movie that it's relying heavily on everyone's love of dragons to begin with, like with dinosaurs, and the cuteness of Toothless, and their love of the love affair between Toothless and Hiccup, and just really so much about the cuteness of it, and then everything else, I feel they were just completely lazy on. Everything else, I was like, man, yeah, there's no suspense because of how they undercut it, but also, almost every element of this movie, story-wise and just writing-wise, I'm like, yeah, this was taken from this movie. Mm-hmm. This came from that. That's a trope that's been done so many times.
Can I ask you what movies that you saw, and just out of curiosity, what movies you saw that was pulling from?
It's, man, it's a lot of other animated movies to the point, and I wish I could give you a list of the ones. Because if I sat there and had some time to think, I'd go like, okay. Because the whole time I was like, this just feels too familiar, but not like it's all one movie. Just from different pieces, and it could be pieces that have been taken from other things. To where every part of this was just so predictable, and I was, after we had that cut that bitch off, who said, like, "Yeah, not as good as the first one, but better than the second one." I'm like, I don't know if it was better than the second one. I like that it wasn't just a remake of the first one
because mm-hmm.
it was doing some different things, but it's different things just from other movies. Too much time on the side characters that wasn't well planned. It's very sequel-y, except that they were like, hey, but it doesn't matter as long as we're going to show a beautiful lost world and we're going to stick the landing with the inevitable conclusion, which they do. They know how to tie a bow on it, and so it doesn't feel so much like an obligation, but it felt like more of a, we know what we have to do and we have a deadline to meet, and it doesn't even matter if we work hard on this other part because we're gonna get these three things done, and everybody's gonna be happy, and that's fine for them. I found it to be not all that pleasurable of an experience. It's a low matinee for me.
Low matinee, man. You have a way with.
I know.
I'm saying that's good. You surprised me because I was like, that sounded like a rental.
I take it back. For me, it is a rental. It's a high rental. But considering that it is a kids' movie that is doing a good job of targeting its audience, because I could hear grown people in there who were emotional about things, and I'm like, you know what, it's not working on me at all. But I respect that you're getting that reaction. That's the reason I'm giving it a low matinee. Also, it is that kind of movie where, look, if you're gonna go see it, it should be in a theater where it's big because it has a big scope.
Yep, you're definitely right about that. Definitely right about that. Damn. You hear that creaking? Shit, I thought a dragon was coming in here. Did you say about my movie? No. So not bad, not bad at all. Matinees all around.
Yeah, barely,
barely. Marley, not deep inside, not for me. I'm just getting a little bit of charity for these kids. Trying to hurt these kids' feelings. Trying to hurt Luke over here. You big fan of this series, Luke?
Yeah, I'm pretty much a huge fan of the series. I've been watching. The first time I've watched How to Train Your Dragon was twice in theaters, and I just.
Hey, come here real quick. How old were you when this movie came out? I'm curious. The first How to Train Your Dragon.
Oh. I think I was probably
Talk to that mic. Sit down and talk to the mic right there.
I think I was probably 13 at the time. I saw it twice in theaters. I remember seeing it okay, the trailers aren't really that interesting. But I decided, why not? We give it a shot. And my God, it was just pretty amazing all the way through. Mm-hmm. And in the second one.
So you love the second one?
Yeah, the second one was great. And also the first one was fantastic. This third one, I was kind of it's also very good, but it is also suffering from a lot of familiarity.
Did you see this?
Yeah, I saw
it. Oh, you did?
Yeah,
okay, so you know what? You being a huge fan and also being the target audience when the movie came out, being a kid. Yeah, I didn't know you saw it. You know, let's break this up right here. What did you think of this one?
What I thought of this one is that I do think it is the weakest of the How to Train Your Dragon films, but I cannot really deny that it is a good film at that. I do think that, of course, there was a lot of, no pun intended, there are a lot of comedy hiccups here and there, you know.
Lying. You meant that.
I'll allow it.
Okay.
Yeah. But I think, and the whole thing with, Hiccup's mom and, Snotlout going I think she's kind of, maybe I can get my... Yeah, it just kind of okay, you might... You do realize that, she lost her husband in the second movie, and it was kind of all track checking and stuff. And I saw you crying over there, so it's just kind of do we really have to do this now? It's just kind
of
like...
It felt to me like one of those things where they go, okay, we got these characters. This is his story. This is what he's going to do. Mm-hmm. Oh, dang, we need something for this guy to do.
Yeah. What would you give it?
For me, you can also find it on my YouTube channel, Shameless Plug. But for me, I really gave it a solid full price. A very good movie. It does suffer from a lot of familiarities and a lot of few comedy relief
moments.
Yeah, moments here and there that really didn't register well. But overall, I still think it's a satisfying film that both kids and adults should watch.
And you know what? Good to get in your opinion because, again, you were the target audience when it came up, so you were the real audience for this.
Yeah.
So from a real dragon master himself over here, sounds like it's one that you're going to want to go see this weekend. My last question right here, you ever dress up as Shaggy for Halloween?
Zoinks, no.
Well, not really.
Well, you should, man. Come on. Am I lying?
The coat.
Or his face.
I mean, hey, there's a lot of people who think that, hey, I look like a Peter Parker from The Amazing Spider-Man. So
I can see that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, totally.
Well, you got your next two Halloweens planned out. All right. Thank you, Luke.
Yeah, thanks.
No appreciate problem. That, man. Thank you so much. Well, yeah? And notice he ain't dismissed himself yet either. Man, that handshake did not work. I guess you're going to sit there, huh?
Yeah. Wait, okay. I didn't know what to do.
No, it's fine. It's fine. I want to thank you for your input, too.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you.
And Luke Nukem, is that your website?
Yeah,
your YouTube
Luke
channel?
Luke Nukem Movie Reviews.
Luke Nukem Movie Reviews.
There you go. There's no shame in that plug, man. I want you to plug away. Luke Nukem Movie Reviews. Go check them out. Go ahead and get into. Got the kids taken care of.
Put them to bed.
Put the little asses to bed, and let's get into some movies for the grown-ups right here. And it's not funny about that, Luke. It's serious. Yeah. We're talking about we're talking about a foreign film, man. Foreign drama. And this one. I don't know why you're laughing, Luke. Because this is tragic, man.
I'm not laughing.
Look.
This movie's fucked up.
I got to tell you. I'm gonna have to admit some things to you once we get into it. But I'm talking about Everybody Knows. It's a movie from Spain, even though it's made with I think Britain and France. But I don't know.
Everybody wants to get in on the act.
Everybody wants to get in on the act. But this is centered in Spain with some very big Spanish actors that have made crossovers here in America. Javier Bardem.
Mm-hmm.
Is he Spanish?
Yeah.
Okay, and Penelope Cruz.
Penelope Cruz.
And movie starts out very cool, man. It's almost like a
cult. I know. It's like so fun.
I don't even think that there's a story going on. Yeah. I think it's just kind of a cultural. Like, I feel like I'm watching like a tourist video or something because you go to Spain with these people here. Somebody's getting married. They throw a big party.
You get to go to the wedding.
You get to go to the wedding. Everybody's drunk. The power gets cut. That makes the party even better. Everybody's having a good time.
He's like, man, these Spaniards know how to have fun.
They know what they're doing. Oh, but somebody always got a shit in the punch, man.
Yeah.
And somebody came in. Penelope Cruz. She has her daughter, Irene, which is, I guess, Irene,
for the plus
English speaking people. Her daughter, who you could tell she just dotes on her. That is the love of her life. I think she even loves that girl more than that little son. She don't care nothing about that boy. They got a little boy that's about 4 years old. She don't care nothing about that boy.
Well, the daughter's got health issues. So that makes
sense. She's got asthma or something. Mm-hmm. And she's, what, like 13, 16? 16. Yeah. She goes missing. So what we have here is, all right, we got a mystery going on.
Yeah, it's a kidnapping.
It's a kidnapping. It's one of those kidnappings where, and it's the scariest kidnapping that you could have. For a while, I thought this was in Mexico.
Because
they leave clippings of kids that are kidnapped. And they say, guess what? They ain't never found them. And they ain't going to find yours if you do not pay us a huge amount of euros. And
don't tell the cops.
Do not tell the cops.
Well, I kill her dead, you tell the cops.
Yep. And you think, all right, man, that's good enough for a plot right there. But the sad thing about this is that once the daughter goes missing, that's actually just the beginning. All these old secrets come out between families and relationships.
And all these old resentments.
And resentments start to come out. And they take a situation that's already terrible. And these grown-ass people just make it worse.
They make it so much worse.
They just make it so much worse.
And their greed comes out. And
worse than everybody.
Yeah.
Where everybody should be working together for the benefit of bringing back this human being who's captured by terrible people and is in danger. No, they got to bring up this old shit. And they got to get petty about it, too. It almost turns into the most tragic soap opera you've ever seen. It would actually be a lot of fun if it weren't for the fact that somebody's life is in danger.
Exactly.
Go ahead and take a look at. Now, this trailer is in Spanish. So I'll show a little bit of this. For those who are looking, you'll get some visuals that clue you in further on what's happening with this.
You got subtitles on it?
Maybe. Okay. You know what? I don't know. I know there's subtitles on some other things, but I don't know about this one. Let's just say they are. Or it might be one of those really artistic trailers where they just let the images speak for themselves. Let's go ahead and take a look and see. And then we'll be back with our review.
When you come home to a place of old friends.
Okay,
in English?
Okay.
Wow, man, it's a total lie.
That's Javier Bardem. He ain't said none of that dialogue in the movie.
No, there's nothing in English in this movie.
Nothing at all. They got him to narrate for this trailer.
You know how you can watch a foreign film and every so often they say an English word, you go like, ooh, that doesn't happen.
No. He ain't spoke a word of that dialogue in this movie at all.
And family traditions. Some things change. And some don't. But even when life has moved on, the past doesn't always stay in the past.
Sound like a commercial for beer.
We gotta have some classic rock music in the background.
Yeah, yeah.
Some Jethro Tull or something.
I drink the Stella Artois.
Irene!
Thank you.
everything.
Man, that trailer makes it like a horror movie.
Yeah.
And it's not that
like,
at
it's
all.
Like it's a big thriller. No, it's mostly, there's a bit of a thriller in
it's,
there.
Yeah, it's somewhat of a thriller.
But it's mostly a drama.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to make a confession right here. I'm not making any excuses, and Martin can probably already tell I'm going to say. I watched a little bit more than half of this, and I knew I shouldn't have, because I had some calls today, and I knew I should have taken them tomorrow. But
aww.
But I know, and I now what I can say is that I can't give you a full review, so I'm not giving a rating or anything. But what I will tell you is exactly what I said. I didn't know what this was about.
Yeah, same here.
And me telling you, I'm sorry I even told you what I did, you know, but I think it'll still work even if you go in knowing what we just told you. But going in, not knowing what it was, because what adds to the tragedy is that you see all these friends and family come together.
Yeah.
Under a very happy moment, and everybody's having a good time.
Uh-huh.
Everybody just kind of
love
off.
Each other.
Yeah.
And they have all this great history of loving each other and oh man, aunties in town brought her kids, and it's all going to be fun. And yeah. To watch what it turns into.
To watch. I mean, what it does. What is cool here is that it shows you how. Again, I mean, you see this with a lot of things, anywhere from apocalyptic settings to something like this. How thin the veil of civility is with people. It only takes a little spark to just burn all that down, and that's what happens here. These people just turn on each other in some ways that it's just sad, man.
Yeah, I found myself angry through watching this movie. just all of it. I was just so like, man, these people are so shitty and two-faced. And all it takes is just not having money, just having people think you have money. That's why you do not want to win the lottery.
Yeah, and you know, it all starts exactly right. And it all starts, and I wish I knew the actor's name. I didn't really get a lot of names here. For one, this was kind of, I was putting this together at the last minute, but also I don't know if you know any of them at all.
I only recognize one other guy there.
I think I recognize one other actress that, again, is a character actor in anything we have here.
Yeah.
But there's the grandfather.
Oh, yeah.
They got this grandfather there. He's already mad.
Uh-huh.
Like, they even come in and they say, "Grandpa, cheer up. We know it's a wedding." So he's already got something on his mind, but he starts drinking.
Uh-huh.
He's already starting trouble with people in town.
Uh-huh.
But then he starts taking it out on other people, and then this the issue of who owned what land at what time, and he can't let this go.
Mm.
And you got people who are trying to help, like Javier Bardem. And now this clip is going to be in Spanish. If you speak Spanish, then you know exactly how this is going down. For those who are watching, you'll get the subtitles for this. But it was hard watching that because you see how people are trying to work together, and he's the one. He was the first one to start kind of pulling the Jenga block out and tearing this apart.
Yep.
And you're right. We talk about characters that are mad. I just kind of got mad at this guy. And the thing is, the more you watch it, you say, "Well, do I have a right to be mad at this guy? Maybe he's on to something."
Tú no te olvides de dónde vienes.
Esta
no es tu casa. Por más que te pases por aquí como si fueses uno más de la familia, no te equivoques. Tú eres el hijo de los sirvientes.
Antonio, vale, ya está bien.
El que no le guste que se tape los oídos. Tú me debes aún más que toda esa gente del pueblo. ¿Eh? Tú presumes de tu finca, va diciendo mi finca, tu finca. Me la debes a mí. Obligaste a Laura. Obligaste a mi hija a que te diera esas tierras.
Paco.
Laura, ¿te obligué yo a vender las tierras?
¿Qué?
¿Te obligué yo a vender tus tierras?
¿Por qué estáis hablando de eso ahora?
Antonio, se las compré a tu hija para ayudarla.
¿Sí?
Sí.
Pero al precio que te convenía a ti.
He's like, no, I've been nice.
Right? He's like, for real.
And that's Javier Bardem. And what for those who are listening, the grandfather got up, who was, like I said, already kind of a drunk and a crippled almost. And he's just he's grumpy all the time anyway. But some information starts to come out. He tells Javier Bardem where, you know what, we've kind of dealt with you this whole time. Like, you're not part of this family. You were actually the servant's son. And you bought this land from us.
And you just kind of inserted yourself in this family.
And you bought the land from my daughter, who was so enamored by you at the time that she didn't know that you were cheating her out of the land that you were actually paying less of a price for.
And he's saying like, hey, she needed to sell this. I paid what I offered what I had, and she took it.
Yeah, whatever. But the more importantly is that while these accusations are going on, he's actually been the one person who's trying to do every – like he's catching hell from his wife, mm-hmm. and now he's catching hell from his family for trying to help them find the daughter. But now if that makes you uncomfortable, what you just heard and saw there, it explodes from there.
Mm-hmm.
I only got to a certain point with this. So like I said, this is kind of going to be your review, man.
Well,
I will say that it did work and drew me into where I was really interested to see what's going to happen.
Yeah. You start off where you're kind of watching and maybe you focus and so then your attention is split. But by the time it gets to this scene, you're like, oh shit. Nah, this is getting deep. And you're right. It just goes from there because that sets the tone of the resentments that are in play. And a big thing that's in play this whole time is that because it was a huge wedding party where the girl got kidnapped. So they're like, who did it? It's a big question of who did it.
And is it an inside job?
And is it an inside job? And is it the family? Is it Javier Bardem? Like all these players, all these people who are part of this family, people in the town, everyone at some point you suspect them or they do something that makes you turn on them and hate them. You know, you might be like, I don't know if you in on it, but that was foul what you just did.
Yeah.
And man, I never seen a movie that had so many people giving each other knowing glances back and forth because somebody will say something, it'll cut the two other characters who give each other a look like, and you're like, wait, are y'all in on this shit? Who's in on it? So it's kind of a guessing game on getting to that, but at the same time, there's that urgency because you have the sick girl who doesn't have her medication, who's been kidnapped, and there's that fear that what if the kidnappers just end up killing her?
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of back and forth, and it keeps you on your toes and. You know, the thrill and the drama itself. And it is one where I was like, man, it's even as much as I, you know, have enjoyed movies that are uncomfortable, this is almost too much.
Yeah.
But the acting is so good in it.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
It just kept me completely focused on
any, it. And what are your criticisms for this?
I actually don't really have a criticism. I mean, it's, you know, it's a little bit over 2 hours long, and maybe that wasn't necessary for what it is.
Yeah.
But it's not like I got bored, and I was hooked the whole time.
Yeah.
I was even kind of sorry when it came to the end. I was like, oh, well, a little bit more, please, son.
Yeah, what would you rate it?
I would give it a low full price.
Okay. Yeah, I'll tell you, man, if I can give any – credit or if I can give any kind of positive criticism towards this, it is that I want to go back home and watch the rest.
Yeah.
I really am hooked to see what's happening.
You know, the sad thing is, though, like as much as it sold me on Spain to begin with, which I've been wanting to go to Spain, the way this went on, I was like, man, I don't know about these
people. I want to deal with these people. Yeah. Man, it's just a movie, man. Don't let it spoil you on that.
I know.
You know, I will say that that's one of the, you know, one of the reasons why they do pull you in so much into the movie before they even get to any of the really harsh, dramatic parts or the thriller or the mystery is that it's not amazing cinematography. It's not like Roma or something.
No,
it's not. But it does show you these villages and these settings in this really festive atmosphere, man, where even when you're supposed to be feeling bad and the thriller's there and things are supposed to be uncomfortable, man, where they are is just so nice and sunny.
I know.
It's filmed in a way where, you know, being that it isn't like too glamorous, it makes you feel like you're kind of there.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I guess is why it's so uncomfortable too.
Now you can't leave, and you see there's just dirt roads leading out.
So. Yeah, like shit. I'm
not even getting my Uber service.
Yeah, exactly. I think my flight takes off. Can't wait to get the hell out of here. I hope this works out for you. I hope y'all find it. But yeah, so you go full price, Martin. Can't say anything. I will also say that the director, kind of impressed with him, man. He's a think that he is Iranian.
Oh, okay, because he did The Salesman and what was the other one?
The Salesman and Separation.
Separation, yeah.
Yeah, if you haven't, and I think I've seen Separation. I haven't seen The Salesman.
Yeah, this is that kind of movie where I was like, you know what? This could work in other cultures.
Yeah, if they actually do this.
Although, I imagine like, huh, I wonder what Tyler Perry would do with this.
Oh, hell no, man. You know what it'd be? It'd be some dark-skinned black dude that steals the girl. They'd find him, but the deal would be there. You ain't shit.
Yeah.
Let me see here. Everybody knows. Yeah, this is the.
Yeah, you get to the end of the movie, and it's pretty infuriating.
I can only guess, because there's a character. I'm just going to say this. There's a character that I really do not like in this movie from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. Did they do what I think they did?
I don't know who you don't like.
Okay.
I can't say the revelation of who it was. I did not guess.
Okay. All right. Yeah, if you happen to see this other guy's movie, his name is, I believe his name is Asghar Farhadi. Farhadi. He directed this movie, Separation. And he also directed The Salesman. I think I've seen Separation. I know I have.
I feel like I have, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's so many titles. It's like, I know, I've seen a new one. You're like, oh, I haven't seen that one.
This is what we know. We have seen too many movies.
Yep. Yeah, used to be people who's like, man, you've seen too many movies. I'm like, no, I haven't. Now when they say it, I'm like, no, you're right.
No, there are movies that people had to remind me. I did not see that movie. And they put the review up. I'm like, oh.
That ain't me.
You know what it was? It was the first that spy spoof, Rowan Atkins.
Johnny English?
Johnny English. I said I did not see the first Johnny English. And somebody popped that review up quickly. It was my voice. All right.
Yeah, I feel like I remember arguing with you coming out of the first Johnny English.
Maybe so, man. Somebody said, now let me give you something. Kevin King says, I'm surprised that you haven't reviewed Fighting With My Family. Didn't get a screening for it.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Man, as much as they've been advertising that, I'm surprised that there wasn't a screening for it. And I didn't know it was out.
They're talking about 94% on Rotten Tomatoes. And
that's all wrestling fans.
Yeah. It probably is. Because, I mean, that movie was not advertised a whole lot. And we didn't. If they had a screening for it, we didn't see it.
I guess, you know what? I say it was advertised a lot. It was advertised in the movie theaters.
Okay. Because I saw that trailer 2 days ago.
Oh. I've seen it a bunch, but I was just like, I'm not looking forward to this.
I hear it's good. So, you know, I don't know. I'll reserve judgment. I would say I'd see it this Sunday, but Sunday's the Oscars. So, don't know.
You and Sammy got your plan together?
No. But I'm going to pull some people. I'm going to plan that tomorrow. Mm. I heard about this. Christopher Estrada put this in here. There's a Kickstarter going on for removing the rat from the Departed, which I don't like that rat either, but I don't think we need to spend money on. How you going to do that?
The rat?
Like the literal rat. Like it is a bad. It's a bad two on the nose scene in the movie. You remember the Departed?
Yeah, but I guess not enough to remember the rat.
Okay, let me refresh you, man. I'll even read
we
the email.
We can't use money for other things.
Nobody wants to help feed the poor. They don't want to help the children. They don't want to help the environment. But getting that rat out of a movie, at the end of the movie that everybody can just easily just cut the movie off before you even get to him, oh, that's important. Christopher Estrada. Or Estrada. So I'm not sure if you still take stories and news from your shows, but someone has this ridiculous idea to digitally remove a rat at the end of The Departed. Just want to know your thoughts on it. It's stupid. It's fucking dumb. That's my thoughts. I hate that rat just as much as anybody, but I don't get a rat a second thought once the movie's done. Yeah. And you know what? And it's at the end of the movie. At this point, when you watch it in the theater, yeah, I can see how that could probably ruin the movie for you. Look at that hiccup. I actually hit that button. I just left it on there to make it seem like I did it. What do you think, hiccup?
Yeah, I'm going to have to pass on a Kickstarter for a rat I don't remember.
Yeah. Yeah, let me put it in Departed. And now, if you're in the movie theater and you're watching this, and you know you pay and you got to watch the end of it, then fine. You know, that could probably ruin the experience a little bit. It's like, wow, you didn't need that there.
Yeah, run out to your local theater right now and go see The Departed.
But if you're watching it at home, and you know, it is at the very end. I mean, the movie's done. Like, if you were a fan and you know that and you've seen it before and you know when the movie's going to end, you can actually cut it off right there. You won't even have to see that rat ever again. So at the end of the Departed. So here's the thing. I'm gonna show a little bit of a spoiler here. So if you have not seen The Departed, this is the very end, and it is a major spoiler. Something happens here that catches people off guard. You have not seen it?
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, go step out in the hall, Luke. Yeah. I don't want to ruin this for you. Get out of here. Yeah, shut the door. No, right. Shut that door. And I'm telling you, go out in the hall. I do not want to ruin this for you. Call yourself a movie person. I should ruin it for you. You should have seen this already. Watching them damn dragons. Can't watch a grown-up movie. all right. So this is I'm doing this to refresh Martin. So okay. This is the very end of the Departed.
Okay.
Ouch.
Now, what happened there is, to give you a refresh in case you don't remember, that is Matt Damon walking into the room and Mark Wahlberg is waiting on him. Mark Wahlberg is waiting to shoot him in the head, as he did. You heard that. And he did that because this is a movie about rats within the organization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Leonardo DiCaprio was a mole or a rat inside the mob. Meanwhile, Matt Damon was a rat inside the police department. Mark Wahlberg figured that out, and somehow Matt Damon got away with it, but Mark Wahlberg said, well, fuck it, I'm Mark Wahlberg. I'm taking matters
in my own
hands.
You ain't getting away with it.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Shot him in the head, walked out. Credits could have rolled. Here's what happened after that. Well, you know what?
There you go.
There you go. That's what you can
director's
do.
Director's cut.
That's what you can do right there. They didn't even show the whole thing. Let me see if this actually shows you everything. Crummy commercial again.
Foiled again.
Sorry about that. That's a good point. See how it ended? You can cut it off right there.
Yeah.
Going about your day. Now, let me see if they actually show it right. Okay. Now, you saw the cut that everybody wants. Here's what really happens in the movie. That's what they put for somebody. You really starting a Kickstarter for that 2 seconds of a rat? Yeah.
Wait, there's not more to it than that?
No.
That's it?
That is it.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, that's it. Just a rat runs across a rail. Now, it's like, first, now, why? That's too much of a metaphor. You did not need that at all. I don't even know why he did that, because it's a nice apartment. Ain't even no rats in there. They on the 20th floor. Somehow a rat he just living next door and he came over to borrow some sugar.
There's some places where there's rats, even in the nice areas.
But you know what I'm saying? It was like, it's done. But the movie still has to say, but just in case you didn't get it. I've always hated that. Always hated it. Because it's not necessary, and it's from Martin Scorsese, a director that should know better.
Sure, but I'm kind of like, I'm all right with it.
I'm not even all right with it. I hate it. But it's not going to ruin the movie for me, because it's at the end.
Right.
Like, if y'all put money into that to get this remote, first of all, it ain't going to happen. What, you going to get every copy of The Departed in the world? I'm talking about everyone on YouTube. Uh-huh. You mean to tell me
the ones that people have bought?
Yeah, exactly. You mean to tell me that this clip that I just showed, you're going to pull that? You're going to scrub that too? You know, come on. Come on, man. No. No, this is dumb. That's what I think of it. I don't even want to get this any more attention. It's fucking stupid. Let's see here. Some people just – you know what's going to happen. A bunch of ironic hipsters and other people, I'm going to put money in this because it's funny. You're going to keep complaining. when they don't take the rat out. When they said they were going to get it out, still there, man. Oh, Oscar Osorio. Hey, Corey and Martin. In the past, you've talked about podcasts you've listened to Indie. And I think you have both listened. To Serial. I just finished listening to its latest season, and it's all about the judicial system, especially in Ohio. Have you heard it? And if you have, thoughts? You haven't heard it? Man, it just depletes you and makes you angry about all the sideways look at justice and how all this is just and how all is just in one court and literally thousands. If you haven't heard, I do recommend it. I think it's just as good, if not better, than season one. Season two was pretty boring. Sorry for the long email. That wasn't too long, man. But I gotta tell you, man, I have not heard Serial, but I heard it's great. I mentioned.
Yeah, yeah, no, I've heard a lot of great things about it, and I remember I started the first season, and I think I might listen to the first episode, and people were already, you know, well past it, and what killed it was somebody saying like, "Yeah, man, I finished it," and the thing is, you get to the end, and you still don't know if he did it or not, and I was like, "So wait, I'm gonna listen to all this shit, and I'm still not gonna get an ending?" Man, fuck that. Come back to me when this case is solved. And I've been seeing ads for season three, and they're like, "Yeah, and there's more twists and turns. You still don't know what to believe." I'm like, "Nah, that's all right."
You know what? I love this. Somebody, Fly Superfly, just Fly. That's what his name is.
Okay.
He said, "You know what? They should take the money and digitize like two rats in the movie." Like replace – now, I would pay for that to replace Leonardo DiCaprio and Matt Damon with rats.
With actual rats.
With actual
yeah. You just reenact the whole movie with rodents.
Just make it all rat. You know
Leonardo
what?
DiCaprio would be a mole, though.
You know what? No, they should make the movie with nothing but rats, and then they should have Matt Damon walk across a bar at the end.
Hello.
Hey, Corey and crew, I was browsing through the movie selections at Redbox and saw something very interesting. Apparently, Norm the North has a sequel.
Yeah, we know. Yeah, we knew.
Yeah, everybody keeps telling us.
Yeah, we know about that.
Yeah, we'll get to it one day.
Or not.
Let's see here. Oh. You know, we were talking about the motivation for this, for the Jussie Smollett situation. Maven Cree. She says here, the Empire Idiot's motivation. Before the discovery, it was rumored his character was going to die. Then he got attacked, and the people in my office were saying, well, they can't kill his character off now that he's been attacked in real life. This may have actually been his motivation for doing this.
Which was the rumor to begin with.
It was rumored, but then, you know, Empire, which I guess because they, you know, they can't say. They said, no, we didn't have any intentions of killing them all.
I mean, you could never trust the network with what they say.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I mean, I get that. Yeah, that's even better.
I mean, it makes him not crazy because you're like, all right, I get it. You just went way too far.
But it's like but it really is like a TV show now.
Uh-huh.
It's like one of those, it's like a real like mystery show now on TV.
It'll be the next season of Serial.
Yeah. Yeah, man, Dynasty. He asked them information about Jussie Smollett. He says, I'm at work, but fuck, I'm pissed because Dynasty's gay. He says, you can call me or read the email. Regarding the Jussie Smollett situation, I agree with you both, and I am truly sad. I don't worship this guy or anything. It's just the fact that if it is finalized that he had lied about the entire attack, it gives so much ammunition for the people who hate LGBT and people of color. Setting us so far back. As a gay black man myself, I'm not looking forward to the future this scandal has set up in play. And also, getting close over here, the current season of Empire, they have been teasing that a family member is going to die. So there we go, man. The plot thickens. By the end of the season, with future funeral scenes, every episode without showing the body. Oh, so let me tease in funeral scenes without showing the body. The mid-season finale hints that it might be the oldest brother, Andre, but I wouldn't be shocked if they reshoot and rewrite the script to make it just his character, Jamal.
Like I said, man, between those two actors who play the brothers, they're like, oh, yeah, thank you. This couldn't have worked out better. I get to keep my condo.
I don't know, man. It's so many rumors going around. It's hard to really tell what's true. But I tell you, man, when it's done, they need to make a movie about this. They need, you know, I'm talking about not no cheap ass, Whitney and Bobby kind of movie. But they need to make it like a Netflix film.
I don't know that this is all that. I mean, it's a dumbass plan that got bungled. Pretty simple. Him facing the press. He's not that big of a star.
Now he is. Here's another thing I could like. This is the last one. There's another thing that could work out on Oscar night. Chicken and Brie might be coming into town.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. Yeah. It says here, let me see. Chicken and Brie, they said, we're flying in Sunday. And we were wondering if you're going to have an earlier show for the Oscars. Also, because Martin won't be there, tell him I said happy birthday. Happy early birthday. Can't wait to hang with you all. Well, Chicken and Brie, we can get you in on the show. Then we will, we got room now. So it'll be a big Oscar show. I'm sure we're going to watch it. So we'll bring some people in. Those girls are funny, too.
Yeah, I like those girls.
Yeah, they're very funny. I think Brie is bringing her. She might be bringing a boyfriend into town, too, who apparently likes what we do. And Martin, this is the last thing for you. Somebody wanted to wish you a happy birthday.
Thank you. Who is that? Who is it, this person?
I don't know. Oh, here it is. Thought I'd opened up already.
For anyone curious, it's going to be Saturday.
Chauncey says, and I can't put his email up, but he wishes you a happy birthday.
Thanks,
Chauncey. Says, good evening, Brother Corey from the Nation of Islam. He says, just want to send an early birthday shout out to Sir Martin Thomas over here. Cool to share a birthday with an awesome guy and still grateful to meet you guys last summer in Chicago. Just want to get you both, both your thoughts on the casting of Chris Hemsworth as Hulk Hogan for an autobiographical film. Also, wondering, have you checked out Horror Noir on Shudder? I have not. If not, it's a must-see. If I could be granted a birthday wish for myself, I would love to do a Cut That Bitch Off review of Horror Noir whenever possible. Thanks so much, and I would love to be toasted.
All right, so my birthday's getting hijacked so he can do a Cut That Bitch Off.
Well, it's already kind of late. You know what? I didn't know, man, but we'll get you. If I'm receiving the –
we'll get you.
If I'm free this evening and tomorrow evening after 3 p.m., we will get you. How about when we get back and you can celebrate it with birthday man right here? You know, you too. Let me see here.
Hulk
Hogan, yeah, man. I heard the story going around. I think it's hilarious.
And me too. I mean, who else could do it?
Might as well. Chris Hemsworth ain't trying to be no serious lead man no more.
Exactly.
Like I said, he's getting that funny money now. He just, you know, he's great at being goofy and charmingly funny. You know, I like that. I'm not saying he can't ever be a leading man. I'm not saying that.
No, of course not. But that's boring.
Yeah, that is boring. But seriously, that's not an insult to him saying, oh, he don't want to do no leading man stuff. Nobody want to do that no more. No, everybody wants him to do what he's doing now because there's a lot more interesting things for him to do with that.
He's been a leading man three times at least in Thor, and when he was doing it comically, it worked out and it made everybody fall in love with him. So why wouldn't he keep that going?
I'm sure we'll get some like ensemble piece where he's one of the main actors and there'll be a drama and he'll play in that and he'll be great.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm talking about trying to force him to be like the leading man in some romantic film or some thriller like he was when everybody tried to like tell us he was a hacker and we're like, sure.
Right.
If you say so, was he hacking wood? Let me see here. Maybe there's a picture of him as Hulk Hogan. I don't know.
That's right, brother.
See, I would love to hear Chris Hemsworth say that. And I'm telling you, brother. And I hope that they have I hope they had that other wrestler in there. I forgot the black one.
Who, Junkyard Dog?
Not Junkyard Dog. Who?
Booker T.
Booker T. I want to have. I hope they get Terry Crews to play Booker T. And I hope they have that scene. Hulk Hogan, we coming for you, nigga. Do you remember that, Luke?
Yeah.
Like, oh, Jesus. He wasn't even talking about Booker T voice anymore. Ah, oh, fuck.
God dang it.
Oh, let's see here. Alyssa, good having you here tonight. And here's our last thing we're going to do. We're going out. I got to get a hold of this man. He has not called me back since that day that we talked.
Well, Correll?
Correll Buffett, man. Yeah, he's got a new jam out right now.
I cannot get his Billy Idol out of my head.
Bill, what's poppin', your boy Buff Crow.
Now we got the Lion King.
Get down, your boy Buff Crow back again. Let me fix this up real quick.
Wait, stop a second. I swear that picture of him back there, it always makes me think it's one of those things where it's a mirror that he looked in and walked away, but the image still stays.
It's a haunted picture. Like, he doesn't want to be this person, but he's cursed to be that forever, as long as that picture stays. I love this guy, man. I got to call him again because he really is confusing people now. Because people like, because he's putting up more pictures of himself posing, uh-huh. You know, because he's all muscular and built and everything. He's like, the guy's, he's gorgeous. Don't get me wrong. But people like saying, but why these fucking eyebrows, man?
Yeah, and the hair.
And the hair. What is going on?
Plastered on with tar.
Maybe that's why he can't pull it off. He just tarred and feathered himself.
They be back once again. It's your boy Buff Crow. Today I'm going to do a joint Circle of Life by The Lion King. I'm going to join it in and join it out. You know how we do point it in and point it out. Fluffy, cuffy, muffy, tuffy, puff, puff, pass. Puff, puff, pass. Make the last hotter body looking big. Now you got to go to the body. Body la di da di, yeah. It's fresh out the day. Anyway, it's going to fresh out the day as we do Lion King. So let's get it without further ado.
Redo.
Sure. I'm good. I thought it was just me. I like this. It's the first time we got the behind the scenes.
Uh-huh.
It's crazy. It's as crazy as I thought it would be.
A little pre-show. Man, that collection of oils and lotions, though.
You know what he does? He does these videos and then he jacks off to himself. That's what they got that lotion back. Okay, this is the first time I've seen somebody pop and lock to the Lion King.
We arrive on the planet. Every king stepped into the sun. There's more to see than can ever be seen. And more to do.
I gotta work in the morning.
They just throw his ass off the
I'm gonna try again, Mufasa.
Yeah. I'm gonna get to the end right here. Here's the big climax.
Till we find our place, yeah, on the path of unwinding, in the circle, in the circle of life. Hey.
Big finish.
If he got a coach, he just have him like, hey, bring the pitch down.
Just a little bit.
Like, no, not a little bit.
Like in the basement somewhere. There we go, man. He's out there. Still producing great art. All right. Thank you, everybody. Appreciate it. And there we go. And we'll see you next time. Martin, I guess we'll see you next Tuesday.
I guess so. Sunday. I'm sorry I won't be here for the Oscars. I genuinely am.
Yeah, no, that's I was genuinely sorry too, Martin. We will miss you. But I want you to have fun. Whatever it is that you're doing out there in them streets, man. And
thank you.
No problem. Thank you, Luke. And thank you, Kung Fu TJ Esquire, for your legal expertise. Why are you looking at me like that, man?
You don't see you looking at something? Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, Martin. Arms crossed. And he's like, mm-hmm. All you have to do is say, you're welcome.
I said thank you.
No, you did not. You said, mm-hmm. You know what you do, man. I'm not going to. Luke, you saw him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, come on, man. Stop.
Hey, leave the kid alone.
Yeah, leave him alone. Don't get mad at him because you a lying motherfucker, man.
Plus, your hands are registered with the police as deadly weapons. Yeah. You go to jail.
Yeah, we have the... Yeah, okay. Oh, I'm not friends with him. I'm scared of him. Yeah, don't worry, Luke. We got all the evidence in this shirt right here. Come on, TJ. It's a good shirt, though, TJ. I want to thank you for allowing us to use that image right there. It really do. It means a lot. Appreciate it. And that is it. So we'll see you next time. Earn the share. And I will see you guys sometime this weekend being on Twitch. Probably Friday and definitely on Saturday.
Twitching,
man. Twitching. Got a show on there. Now the name is catching on with people. 8-Bit Crumbs. People asking for it by name now. And
yeah, I want to do that again with you.
Come on, man. Welcome anytime. I told you. Come over on a Friday or something.
So you do it Friday by yourself or because I thought you always did it with Chris Herman.
No, Chris is doing his own stream on Friday, so I just kind of go in there and do it myself.
Oh, okay.
Might be switching the trivia over to Twitch and doing it in real time.
Oh.
Animated.
Oh.
Yeah.
What? Oh, right. Gotcha.
Yeah, we'll see though. Damn.
Now that Coleman always got something new up his sleeve.
Something going on. Is this a real? This ain't real. This is not real. They put New York Post liar.
That could be.
Could be. Who knows, man? It'd be true, probably.
They're quick to jump on things.
Yeah. There you go, folks. That is that. So we'll see you around sometime. And remember, Sunday's the Oscar show. Probably will be starting a little bit later than usual. So we'll let you know about that. But we'll be here. All right. That is it. Go on. Get out. Had a good time. Now I got to go do something. That doesn't involve you. Let me see here. And tonight I want to say goodbye to a very special person right here. Let's see. Somebody that gave us a lot of laughs right here. You know, something that's going to send you out with a smile.
I am Mr. Brooks. I did lose my wallet in Amarillo.
Yes, I was there and saw the whole thing.
It contained my rent check.
We will be out on the street if I do not get my wallet back.
And we don't want that, do we?
No, Mama, we don't.
And the week after that, Felix ends up calling you, and he's like, Corey, by the way, WrestleMania is happening, and Billy just so happens to be joining me here. So, you know, I don't know what to tell you. That's why he can't join the show today.
It really. I look at Martin more than I look at DJ Miles now. Yeah, Martin.
I watched it the minute when he mentioned Felix. That's when I was like,
oh my God, this is not going to be good. But it was for us. Unintentionally, yeah. All right, everybody. That's that. Want to say one last goodbye to the chat, too. You guys have been fun tonight. Enjoyed having you here. We appreciate you. Thank you so much. And that is that. All right. We are out. Remember, when we're not streaming, we are thinking about you. So please, please.
Please.
Please, please, please don't hesitate to give us a call. But you got to get that number to us first if you want to be a part of the show, which we did have some numbers tonight. But we'll We'll give you guys a call next time. And don't ever hesitate to pop open that keyboard and type in for us, kcoolmans@gmail.com. That's kcoolmanz@gmail.com. You email us with any kind of questions, comments, compliments, insults, input, and our advice. Want to be a part of the show? Well, we're done, but we got more shows coming up, so please send your emails to kcoolmans@gmail.com. Press send, bam, up in your home. Criticizing you, all the critics in the world, in the house call. On Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, type in Double Toasted for all of those. Want some private time with me? Type in Corey.Coleman.5 on the Facebooks. I'm too busy out there criticizing folks. Mr. Thomas.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Martin_NoFro, or look for Martin Thomas on Facebook. And if you're on Facebook, please join our group, the Children of the Toast. Back to you, Corey.
Oh, no, back to the people here in the World Famous Double Toast Studios. Oh, two stank-ass couches. All you got to do is email us if you want to come visit. kcoolmans@gmail.com. If you're visiting Austin or decide to stay here, you know, you're here for South by Southwest, party a little bit too hard. You're so hungover, you can't even move. So you know what? You're just going to stay here. You're going to move here. That's fine. But we will heavily criticize you if you do not come see a show. So let us know. kcoolmans@gmail.com. Give some details. Give us some details that we can accommodate you. All right, everybody. That is it. Good night. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Whenever you are listening to or watching this show, goodbye and stay toasty.